This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Not tonight, not this morning. Frank Morano's part of the varsity here at WABC as opposed to the junior varsity. Frankie Russo! Friday and Saturdays. That other side of midnight. Oh, that's a part of the moon I really don't want to go on. Anyway, before we get in to the news of the day about the birth of Carmine William Morano, born at 9/11. God, could you have picked any other timing? 9/11? Sends shivers up my spine this evening. But before we get into those nitty-gritty details, because I am in possession of some facts that others are not, and I'll be more than happy to share them on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound, in which you can be heard in 38 states and parts of Canada. In fact, down in Bermuda and the Bahamas, how do I know? Because they used to host the overnights, and I'd be getting calls from all over the place. But we need to establish some talk radio caller decorum. And I noticed that a lot of my colleagues here at WABC, a whole panoply of them, have gotten into being slackers, deadbeats, and not enforcing the rules. First off, don't be asking how I'm doing, because I'm going to be telling you I've had better days. And don't be suggesting that, oh, thank you for taking my call. Hey, schmuck, putz, we give out numbers, right? Constantly. Almost ad nauseum, so that you'll call. We solicit you for a call, and then you're thanking us for taking your call. And then finally, in the talk radio caller protocol, don't ever say first-time caller, long-time listener. What are you, repeating stuff you heard like a parrot? But our numbers, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-9222. WABC, I believe we will be joined by the new papa very soon here in this hour. But I got to give you some nitty-gritty details. In the wee hours of last morning, Thanksgiving, in the 5 o'clock show, the news hour, of which I have no idea if we're having a news hour, so it doesn't matter. I'm just going to talk through the 5 to 6 o'clock hour. You know, I don't get any information here. I ask for information. They treat me like a person of no consequence. Hey, we got a news hour this morning. I don't know. Ask the program director. I don't know. Nobody seems to know anything. So I'll just plow through it. But I will tell you this, in the news hour yesterday that you regularly hear, Jet Set Juliet with Frank Morano. I guess the Morano signal went up, and boy, he flew out of here like a bat out of hell. I mean, he was clipping through all the speed cameras on Highland Boulevard after he went over the plank to the South Shore, Staten Island. I'm sure he's accumulated hundreds of dollars worth of tickets. I guarantee you, knowing Frank Morano, who throws nickels around like manhole covers, there'll probably be a GoFundMe page set up just to pay those tickets. But he's an eager beaver father at that point. He had heard that Rachel was in labor, his beautiful wife, Rachel, and he didn't wait until the end of the 5 o'clock news hour. He got out of here and let Jet Set Juliet take the hour the rest of the way, and she did an excellent job and then passed off the torch to the Maytag, Chris Hahn, who was too busy cooking his turkey yesterday to be able to schlep him here to WABC because naturally he's got a ring in his nose put there by his wife, and yours truly. And we'll do that this morning also. So nice we do it twice as Bernard McGurk. He's up there in the Irish Alps. Sid Rosenberg, his partner. He's in the Jewish Himalayas, the Catskills. They're with their family and friends over this long holiday weekend. We wish them the best. So this time, Chris Hahn will actually be schlepping into the studios here at WABC. So all during the day, everybody was on pins and needles wondering, when will this child be birthed? We didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. I think Frank had given us a tip that they had already settled on the name if it turned out the baby was a boy between Rachel and Frank. I guess they compromised. We'll find out momentarily. But they hadn't yet determined what the name might be if, in fact, they would have a girl instead. And then this evening at 9/11, boy, that's haunting, 9/11. Couldn't be 9/12, 9/10, 9/13, 9/11. The brand new baby Carmine, William Morano, was birthed. I think he was 13 pounds at birth. I don't know how Rachel withstood that. I mean, that's a big kid. I was 11 pounds at birth at Brooklyn Hospital when Dr. Duckman smacked me on my dupa on March 26, 1954. And my father didn't even think that I was his son because when you're that heavy, your eyes are slanted a bit. And he thought that I was a baby of an Asian couple. And he got into an argument amongst the OBGYNs. Well, that's a story for another day because we're focused on the birth of Carmine William Morano. We understand that the three kings at some point will be schlepping out to Staten Island across the plank, and they'll be bringing all kinds of gifts. I forget what the three kings brought to baby Jesus there in the manger, but all kinds of gifts because I'm sure Frank is expecting tribute. But to tell you what a cheapskate Frank Morano is, they have some of the best medical treatment available nowadays. It isn't like it used to be so many years ago, not just here in the five boroughs, but all over the United States, wherever you're picking up the 50,000 powerful watts of sound. But apparently, rather than use a OBGYN or a series of them, professionals who do this on a regular basis, Frank decided to go the old school Italian way. And that's why I call him Calamity Frank. He's always getting himself in all kinds of calamities. And so from the time of Rome, right, Julius Caesar to today, there are a lot of Italians who believe that it's better to have a midwife deliver the baby than to have an OBGYN, whatever that stands for. It sounds good. You know, I never quite understood the acronym. But I remember my own mother. She was born under a sink on Skillman Street in Brooklyn. Under a sink. And a midwife helped the delivery of my grandmother, Nicoletta, bring Francesca into the world, the 13th, the last drop of 13 children of Fidella Bianchino and Nicoletta Bianchino. All 12 were born in Andria, in Bari, Italy. Only my mother was born in America, in Brooklyn. But she was born under a sink, delivered in the traditional way by old-style Italians, by a midwife. And I think, I could stand incorrect, Frank will join us momentarily and give us the nitty-gritty details, but that a nun was put on loan to Frank Morano and Rachel from Mount Laredo. That's right. To be there as the midwife. And let's face it, they're the best midwives in the world. So I'm sure Frank did that because he is pious. He is religious. He is a legitimate Roman Catholic, unlike myself. I'm an AMP Catholic. Ashes on Wednesday, palms on Sunday. Then you don't see me for a month of Sundays. But I'm sure by having that nun on loan to him from Mount Laredo and to his wife, Rachel, who was going through the labor pains, preparing to deliver young Carmine William Morano, meant all the difference in the world. But I also want you to know that I'm a devotee, like Ronald Reagan became out of need when Nancy Reagan introduced him to the astrology chart. Because he wasn't a believer until all of a sudden a guy named Hinckley shot him at a location that his wife at the time, Nancy Reagan, warned him not to go to because the stars were not aligned. She said, Ronald, don't go to that meeting today. I'm telling you, I'm looking at your chart, see, it ain't good. Ah, no, no, Nancy, I'm going. I don't have to tell you, the rest is history. The poor guy almost got killed. And Hinckley is running around. He's going to bowling tournaments now. Figure that one out. He's registered in bowling tournaments in Arlington, Virginia. He's footloose and fancy free. He almost killed the president of the United States. But I divert. So according to my charts, and I did not consult the gypsies down the block, there's a Kabbalah gypsies. They actually have a storefront a few blocks away. I don't know how they make money to pay for the rent out of that storefront, you know, because they read palms and they do a lot of sorcery. But in combination with their astrological charts and my charts, I believe that Carmine William Morano was birthed into the world at 9/11. Why 9/11? I'm still trying to figure that out. As a Sagittarius. Now, that could be double trouble for young Carmine and naturally for Frank Morano, the father, and Rachel, the mother, because if memory serves me correct, Sagittariuses are outspoken, they're very extroverted, they're not introverts, They're loyal, they're smart, and will tell you what's on their mind even when it's not politically correct. The problem is there's a negative side to being a Sagittarius, as some of you listeners out there know. You can be blunt, careless, and judgmental and really turn a lot of people off. Boy, that sounds like Frank Morano, doesn't it? Like father, like son. Anyway, we'll be going to Frank Morano, the brand new father of baby boy Carmine William Morano, born this evening at 9/11. Oh, man. Anyway, let's go to Nick, who's calling all the way from Farmingdale. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Nikki.
Hi, Curtis. I wanted to say there are a few things that the number 9/11 might actually mean for his birth. You have to think about, obviously, the date 9/11 is a horrible date, but you have to think about it united America in a certain way that we've really never seen before, aside from maybe like the Second World War or something like that, or the current pandemic. Maybe Carmine could be some sort of future big influencer or something.
A sage, maybe even a sage, right? Born with the knowledge of 9/11. I mean, it's part and parcel of his delivery. Are you a numerologist?
I would not say I am, Curtis. No.
So let me ask you a question. Wait a second, Nick. You call up. You have absolutely no credibility in sourcing through numbers. You're not a numerologist. You give us your observation simply because you think this is it. I gave you his astrological chart as it is, and you're coming on here as if it's Ted Mack's amateur hour with numerology?
I'm sorry, Curtis. And I just want to say one more thing. I have to just...
Wait, hold on. You apologize to me, and then you think I'm going to let you say something else. What chutzpah, what gall, what culions you have. But go ahead. I'll give you some slack, Nick.
I think that you're an incredible radio host, and I just want to say it's crazy that they're going to have you on for like 10 hours today. It's just like,
oh no.
I mean, obviously I can't get enough of Curtis. You know, I can't get enough of you.
Oh, you know, chewing host, my shorts and pulling my chain ain't getting you nowhere, pal. You know, it may with the other talk show hosts and hostesses here. Oh, you love me. You adore me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Get off my
Curtis,
phone,
I'm...
Nick. Get off my phone. Enough of this patronizing. I love you. I can't get enough of you. Well, 10 hours. I've done 32 hours straight. Probably better than a lot of talk radio you've heard, not just here, but in other locations. I can give you a whole list of programs I've listened to. I'd want that hour back. I'd want those 2 hours back. 3, 4, 5 or more. But hey, I'm not gonna be critical. I'm not going to give constructive criticism tonight. I'm paving the way for the brand new daddy, his first baby, at least that we know of, Carmine William Morano. Now, if all of a sudden, you know, Frank Morano's going around giving out cigars, because, you know, that's the tradition. This guy, give him any reason to be smoking those DeNobla, those crooked Italian stinkers, and Frank Morano will take advantage of that. So he'll probably be walking down Forest Avenue, Victory Boulevard, you know, thinking this is like a victory, and giving out these DeNobla cigars. So be on the lookout for Frank Morano as he's passing the Silver Lake Golf Course, you know, with the Duffers this morning. He'll be giving them free DeNobla cigars, a whole bunch of others. But in the meantime, let's go, if we can, to Mike, who's calling from Bergen County. Your turn to be heard here on WABC, Mike.
Rich? No, Curtis.
Yeah, you got my name right, okay? What do you want? Some brownie points?
The thing is, the baby's got to be brought up cultured.
Well, that's Staten Island. That ain't happening. Come on, pal. It's not. Come on. What are you talking about, Michael?
Turntables are making a comeback.
Mike,
easy to collect on Route 4 at Elmwood Park.
Mike,
get a phonograph.
Mike, let me ask you a question.
Get some 78s of Toscanini.
Come on,
and Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso. You're going to sing too? like Dominic Carter and James Golden. Am I going to have to listen to your pipes, rusted as they are? By the way, Mike, give me a break. Guy's been drinking tonight. You could tell. Tusky Caruso. Oh, by the way, we've done a little research. Unlike that other Gabon who called up pretending to be a specialist in numerology. 9-11 carries the vibration of the number 9 as well as the master number of power, number 11. The number 9 has long been associated with endings that are set to bring about new and spiritually transformed beginnings. That means we're going to all take out the crystals now, and with Oprah, we're going to juggle the crystals in a new age way in welcoming in Carmine William Morano. It also represents leadership, service to humanity, and the spiritual laws that govern the universe. My God. On its own, the number 1 indicates new beginnings, progress, and self-reliance. When it is seen as 11, however, it becomes much more potent and powerful. I'm going to give the numbers out. We've had a pretty slow start out of the box here. We had one gabon and one guy half in the bag. I mean, come on, people. I know you can do better than that. Yeah, you're listening in 38 states, parts of Canada, and down in Bermuda and the Bahamas. I know you can do better than that. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And I understand, as we have the dischronificator up on the rooftop here at WABC, it is aimed in the direction of Tottenville on the South Shore. Right opposite the Arthur Kill Kilvan Cull, where if you hit a golf ball from the point of Tottenville, it can actually land in Perth Amboy. Not South Amboy, but Perth Amboy. I understand we're getting the signal in from the Morano House that Frank will be joining us momentarily.
You're hearing things.
You're hearing things.
On 77. WABC.
Man, I hate this song, man. Kill it, kill it, man. Kill it. Oh, man. I don't know what to say. You know, I have no intention of singing on the radio. I don't want to be like Dominic Carter and the duo of James Golden. We'll discuss that later on in the show. They don't realize they're talk radio show hosts. Rather, they want to be crooners on WWRL or WBLS or the old KISS. And we'll get to that momentarily, but I think we have the man of the hour. Although, actually, the man of the hour is the son, Carmine William Morano. But I think we actually have Frank Morano on the line. Is this true, Frank?
It is true, Curtis. I didn't want to subject the audience to too much of your inaccuracies for too long, so I figured I would call in and correct the record on some of the misstatements you were making. But happy Black Friday, and yes, indeed, I am a very proud father of young Carmine William Morano, who is now about 4 hours old, already a big talk radio fan. And unfortunately, Curtis, I don't know why, but whenever he hears your voice on the radio, he just has this look of just, you know, disgust. My wife said it was gas, but no, I think it's a reaction to the kind of things that you're saying on the air.
Well, first off, let's square this away. I have it on good authority that you, who throw nickels around like manhole covers, instead of getting any number of OBGNY, whatever that stands for, the acronym, you decided to go old school Italian, get a midwife, actually a nun on loan from Mount Laredo, that helped deliver that baby in a bathtub, I guess, in your home with poor Rachel, having to sort of do the breathing in and the breathing out. Is that true, or is that just an urban myth?
No, there is not one truth to one syllable of anything that you just said. For starters, Mount Laredo doesn't even have nuns there anymore, I don't believe. Number two, if you know how fastidious my wife is with cleaning, she would never give birth in our bathtub. And number three, we're very proud to be living in the 21st century, taking advantage of modern medical care. So, yes, we're at Richmond University Medical Center now, the old St. Vincent, same hospital I was born at. And there's not a single kernel of truth to anything you just said.
So what, are you disparaging my mother Francesca, who was born in this country under a sink delivered by a midwife, in which Nicoletta Bianchino, my grandmother, was doing the heavy breathing in and out under the sink on Skillman Street in Brooklyn? Are you disparaging my mother and my grandmother?
I would never disparage Francis nor Chester, and I'll tell you, if raising good children is a measure of a good person, they're at 2 out of 3 in the case of the Sliwa children. That's a 666 average, so they're doing just fine.
Now I understand. I'm looking up here. There's a GoFundMe page for you for all the speeding tickets you acquired early this morning when you got clipped by all those speed cameras on Highland Boulevard, running to the side of your wife who was in labor. Is that correct?
That is actually true. That was, you know, as I was getting my third or fourth speed camera violation as I was driving home at 5:45 this morning, I was thinking, gee, I really wish Curtis had gotten elected mayor now, and I wouldn't have to pay these speed ticket violations.
Got to get rid of those speed cameras. That's all they are. It's a hidden tax. They don't make it safe out on the roads.
It's true. It's true. But I've been listening to you in and out for a good portion of the day, Curtis, on the 900 shows that you've been filling in on. You sound great, as much as I hate to admit it. You sound great, and I appreciate you subbing not only today, but in the week or two that I'm going to take off to spend time with Carmine and Rachel.
Oh, and where will you be heading? Down to Belmar on the Jersey Shore, where everyone from Staten Island goes, all the Bennies?
No, I'll be home, assisting with feeding and changing and whatever it is that you're supposed to do.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I could just see you doing that, Frank. You're calamity, Frank, to begin with. I wouldn't anywhere near the baby.
Yeah, you're right. Rachel may have me at work sooner rather than later.
Now, question, how is your wife, the lovely mother of your son, Carmine William Morano, doing since she had to do all the heavy lifting? The only heavy lifting you're going to have is giving out the DeNobles cigars as a proud father.
Yeah, that's true. I was in such a rush this morning because the baby came early. He was due December 6th, and he didn't want to wait. He wanted to see if he could get some turkey for Thanksgiving, I guess. So I didn't have a chance to pick up cigars this morning. And very uncharacteristic of me, I didn't even think to bring a bottle of anything to the hospital. So this has got to be the longest I've been sober in decades. But she's doing well. She's feeling good, and she's doing well. She's feeding the baby right now in their room, and she's doing well. No complaints. She's feeling a little tired, as you might imagine. Still, her legs are a little numb because of the some of the drugs they gave her during her delivery. But by and large, the baby's doing great. She's doing great. We couldn't be more thankful, not only for the baby's health, but for all the listeners' well wishes, which have been substantial. So big shout out to everybody that's reached out to us over the course of the last 16 to 17 hours or so.
Now, I have a little beef with the midwife who assisted the birth of your child, with Rachel and with Rachel herself. Why couldn't she have just held out like another minute or two? You realize Carmine was delivered at 9:11 tonight? 9:11?
Right. I don't know what to tell you, Curtis. This kid was clearly was in a hurry to get started on his own talk radio career.
Now, you do realize that he is birthed into the world as a Sagittarius. I don't think you're a follower of astrological charts, are you?
I'm not, but my brother-in-law, his uncle Josh, is a big astrologer. He's already got his charts mapped out for from here to kingdom come. So I don't know what that means, November 25th birthday.
Well, let me break it down for you, because, you know, the first thing that I read in the morning in the New York Post is the horoscope. In fact, for many years, it's the reason that people actually bought the New York Post, because they have the best horoscope, very accurate. And for Sagittarius, this is just the general description of somebody who's birthed as a Sagittarius. They're outspoken. They're extroverts. They're loyal. They're smart. They're assertive. Sounds a lot like you. But then for every positive, there's a negative. So the flip side of that is they can be blunt, careless, and judgmental, which also sounds like you, Frank Morano.
That's true. And, you know, when the kid was born, the first thing he said was, I can't believe I have the same birthday as Chuck Schumer.
Oh, gosh, that's a nightmare. That is a real nightmare.
All right, Curtis, I am going to leave the audience in your capable, bereaved hands. Enjoy your 9 or 10 hours straight of radio broadcasting this Black Friday. I will speak with you later, and my thanks to the audience for their well wishes, and I appreciate you holding down the fort in my absence.
Well, give Rachel our best, because she had all the heavy lifting along with the midwife. All you did was just show up.
That's right. That's right.
And, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere along Victory Boulevard or Forest Avenue or Highland Boulevard in the morning, Frank Morano, proud father of Carmine William Morano, will be handing out free De Noblest cigars. That's right. I think they're from Ramsey, New Jersey, I think. One time my grandfather, they were on strike. He walked all the way to Ramsey, New Jersey, crossed the George Washington Bridge. If there's anybody out there who knows the origin of De Noblest cigars, the Italian stinkers, the crooked cigars, please let me know at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go, though, to Douglas, who's calling from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Douglas.
Curtis, good evening. So I wanted to say that apparently I was mistaken, but I thought the baby was born Maimonides. But Maimonides Hospital is the number one hospital for childbirth in New York State, I believe. I heard this.
Let me ask you a question. Now, Douglas, you say good evening. It's good morning. So now I'm supposed to believe you as an expert on what are the best hospitals to go to have a child delivered, right, Douglas? You don't even know that it's morning.
Well, I just heard, as far as, like, the number of children being born, Maimonides is number one.
Oh, well, you heard that, huh? So what we should do right now, Rachel is nursing her new child, Carmine William Morano, at Richmond County Hospital. Formerly, I think it was St. Vincent's. I forget what it used to be called. So we should have an ambulance, maybe Hot Sola, transfer the baby and the mother to the OBGNY sector of Maimonides Hospital in Borough Park, Brooklyn. Should we do that?
Only if they want it.
Madan Hamai. Where are we finding these gabons? Hey, maybe it should have been Maimonides. Good hospital. Hey, both my father and my mother went there. Good hospital. But I don't think we're going to be transporting Rachel. I think she's doing just fine in Richmond County right now. Let's go to Peter out in Staten Island. Welcome to WABC,
hey,
Peter.
Yes.
Yes, Peter.
Yeah, glorious day with the birth of Frankie's child there. And I think a good candidate for Godfather would be you, because you've been loyal with Frankie and you both got a great show. And I'm looking forward. I'll be the promoter and the referee of your boxing match against Frankie Russo.
With one arm tied behind my back, which it is now because I have this busted elbow.
I can
knock this sucker out. Come on, Peter. Come on. We got to have a match here. You know, there'll have to be a more severe handicap.
Charity. It'll be a great charity for the police and firemen, for the widows. We could raise a lot of money for a good cause. And I'm one of the promoters with Anthony from... my wife had a meltdown. Yeah, I had a little too much wine.
I can tell that. You and that guy from Bergen County earlier. Hey,
definitely.
Hey, turn it in early tonight, Peter. What is it? Frank has a drinking audience because he's a lush. Everybody else out there is a lush. I can't believe this. They're slurring their words. Hey, you know, good evening. She should have went to my mom. You know, it's good morning, pal. And that guy was probably drinking Mogan David wine. Well, Manischewitz. I don't know, man. This is like, hey, this is Frank Morano's audience. I have a feeling we're going to have to put together an AA meeting. Huh, and Frank could be there. He could be doing the first confession, and then all the rest of you can line up. Hey, why don't you sober up? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
77 WABC, All-American.
Oh, yeah.
He knows New York. He is New York.
Cred that the others don't have.
Curtis Sliwa, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, let's restart this. Because so far with our callers who happen to be men, they sound like they're all half in the bag, like they've been drinking all night. So I think we're going to go in a different gender direction. We're going to go up to Boston, where Jennifer is calling about Frank's baby. Your turn to be heard at WABC, Jennifer from Boston.
Hi, Curtis. First of all, yeah, big time congrats to Frank and Rachel and to Precious Carmine, and blessings to them all and their life going forward. I wanted to say it's so good to hear you, Curtis. You used to be on an FM station up here back about maybe not close to 20 years ago. And you were on for quite a while. And everyone I knew you loved you up here. And it's just so refreshing that I have found WABC in about the past year and a half. And I'm glad you're on. And I love hearing your voice. And you want to hear a funny thing that I remembered you telling about your grandmother?
That's right, Nicoletta, but I will tell you this. It was one of those times when I did weaken my standards. I was on an FM station at night. I was syndicated from WABC, and one of these syndicated stations was the FM talker there. And I would always say, you know, I'm on FM now, which stands for Free Marijuana, Fornicating Madly, Freaking Morons. And I would attack the Boston Red Sox as a tried-and-true Yankee fan, and I survived. I survived doing that in Boston.
Well, that's okay. I'm a Yankee fan, too, and a Red Sox hater. So that we're good.
Yeah, well, that's why we clicked.
Yeah, can I say one thing? I remember you talking about your grandmother. And you used to tell, I just love the way you speak, everything about you, and I love the way you would take on things in politics. But a story I remember you talking about your grandma, the way she used to prevent you from getting colds. She used to... You remember, I don't know that you'll even remember talking about this, but putting alcohol in your nose.
That's right. Yes. Alcohol. That's right. Rubbing alcohol in my nose. And I used it all during COVID-19. I probably was the one person more exposed to COVID-19 than anyone else because I was taking care of the homeless, the emotionally disturbed, no gloves, no mask. And I would just bathe my schnoz. My nostrils with alcohol every day, and thankfully I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's funny because it kind of makes sense. Like if you just swab some, because you almost think like your nose acts as a filter before anything goes down. So it's kind of funny, but I always remember that you had so many neat stories. So,
Yeah, the other one, Jennifer, you may not have been privy to, but the Ukrainians in Brighton Beach told me, Curtis, all you got to do is have a little glass, not a schnapps. A little glass, not a whiskey, not of any alcoholic beverage, just plain tonic water. Little glass, because to drink tonic water by itself, any amount will make you want to projectile vomit. And that's what I did. I used the Ukrainian remedy, not only swabbing my nose with alcohol in my big schnoz, but drinking each day a little portion of tonic water, and I didn't get coronavirus. And let's face it, the over-under point spread was that I would probably be the person that would get coronavirus and get it the worst.
Absolutely, because I worried about you, because you're like me, you're not getting younger. And I know your involvement. And I want to say one last thing, if I could. I praise you for the way you honor people and the way you take care of people and the way you just live your life, and for all you've done with the Guardian Angels, I think it's been remarkable. I wish you would have won as mayor, but you win in doing the right thing and being a really good human being, so there you go.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jennifer, and maybe one day, if I can survive this medium and my many returns to talk radio, I've been at this now 30 years, I will be on FM Talk again and can attack the very medium that's carrying me. As freaking morons, feeble-minded, constantly fornicating madly, and always seeking free marijuana. Meantime, let's go to Neil out in Staten Island. I guess he wants to talk about Frank's new baby today, Carmine William Morano. delivered from Rachel by a midwife at 9:11 this evening at Richmond County Hospital. Your turn to be heard, Neil.
Thank you, Curtis. The first thing I want to say is I have to say that when you had that commercial with the homeless man, it actually brought tears to my eyes. That was the most compassionate commercial I've ever seen in my life, and I have to give you kudos for doing that one.
Well, thank you, and even though it moved quite a few people, didn't move enough Democrats to elect me mayor of the city of New York.
That was unfortunate, but you know, the first words of Frank's new baby is, "Hey, Mommy, how do we get Leo Gorsi to fill in for Daddy?"
Very good, Neil. I can see you're sane and sober. You haven't been testing it. You haven't been tasting it tonight, have you?
No, I don't drink. I don't drink, Curtis. But you know, the one thing, Frank better realize he better get back to work, because I mean, you know, he used to work for 8 people. You're working for 15, and if he doesn't get back, I don't think he'll have a job. You're going to take over the whole station.
No. Frank is secure. He is the overnight guy. He is part of the varsity here at WABC. He earned it the long way, the hard way. It's Frankie Russo who I'm going over, you know, the JV guy, the 2 nights a week that he does the other side of midnight. But I'll tell you this, Neil. I'm going to let it be known that I am going to volunteer myself as the godfather to Carmine William Morano. And when we have the christening, it will be at the church in Mount Loretto, which was, as you know, in the scene of The Godfather, way out there in the south end of Staten Island. The church, which is right on the grounds of Mount Loretto, was used as the place where Michael Corleone, remember, said, "We're going to settle all scores today." And since so many of my enemies live in Staten Island, in Brooklyn, in Queens, and the Bronx, when we are christening Carmine William Morano, I will step aside because obviously I don't want to interfere with the religious ceremony. I'll be struck by lightning because I am an AMP Catholic. Ashes on Wednesday, palms on Sunday. Then you don't see me for a month of Sundays. And I will say to the gathered crowd, of which there'll probably be the Gottis who are friends of Frank Morano, just like they were there after his wedding, right? And I had to be looking at them while they were eye fornicating and mad dogging me. I will say, we are going to be settling all scores after the christening of Carmine William Morano. And then you got to try to figure out what that is. Anyway, let's go to Maryland and Manasquan, New Jersey. I understand you want to talk about Frank's and Rachel's brand new baby, Carmine William Morano, delivered at 9:11 tonight. It should have been a little later. 9:11, that's a little scary, Maryland.
Yes, you need to Google the Dobbs Ferry Deli shooting. That's the Dobbs Ferry Deli shooting. An innocent New York City cop was sent to prison by Jeanine Pirro. And read the Jeanine Machine by Richard Glassberg.
What a gavon, this guy. I mean, he lives to berate Jeanine Pirro, who you can hear on this station on Sundays at 11 after Michael Mbadicic, Rudy Giuliani, and Dr. Maria. The poor guy is delusional. You know, he goes around, spends his whole life calling in, trying to get people to peer into this website, which is a website of no consequence, uses different names, different descriptions, gets through every phone screen here at WABC. They must have a tin ear. Either that or he's giving them payola. Who knows how he's enticing them to put him on the air. I mean, you would think by now they'd be able to block the guy out. But, oh, no, you know, they're too busy pleasurizing themselves while they're answering the calls. So let's go to Carol, who wants to talk to about Frank's new baby. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Carol.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I knew he was going to have a boy, and the baby is a Sagittarius like me. And you mentioned something about Sagittarius people being very blunt. I've been blunt my entire life.
You sound it. You sound it,
thank
Carol.
Thank you. Yeah, but
I'm supposed to believe, as a soothsayer, you predicted that Frank and Rachel's baby would be a boy?
Yeah, I did. I thought he would have a son.
How do we know that?
I really did.
Wait a second. Carol, you could say that now that it's a boy, but how do we really know? Did you write it down somewhere? Did you put it in a bottle? Did you float it in the East River? I mean, how do we know that you knew it was going to be a baby boy?
I just did. That's all.
Oh, so we have to trust you.
Right. But I'm into astrology and all that stuff.
You're a gypsy woman, right? Okay.
Irish gypsy.
Yeah, look, you know, I've been to Dublin, outside of Coolock, Finlock, Ballyfermline. There is a gypsy camp right near the airport. They live in those wagons, you know, that are pulled by those little burros and donkeys. Yeah. And they have red heads. They have green eyes. They have milky white skin.
That's exactly what I look like.
Yeah, I actually went into the gypsy camp there. You know, gypsies originally came from India, the country of India, and then spread all around the globe.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question, Let me ask you a question, Carol. Do you have all of the traits of gypsies? Because sometimes they've been known to do a little shoplifting from time to time.
Oh, no, not at all. I've never done that, ever.
but you have looked at the astrological chart of the young Carmine William Morano, who was brought into this world by Rachel and Frank at 9/11.
I love that name, by the way.
I'm a little troubled by that number, though. I'm a little troubled by that.
Oh, the 9/11? Yeah.
I know you're not a numerologist. You're an astrologer, but I'm a little troubled with that. Anyway, let's go to Larry calling from Long Island City. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Larry. Hey.
Hello, Curtis.
Yes.
Yeah. No, hello.
No, hello to you.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Harper was mad because the other hosts make more money than him. Frankie's baby's 13 pounds. Frankie's got to lay off the pasta, that's for sure. If you know, if you're late night, you're going to have people calling in on the cooking. You know, they're going to be on the cooking sherry. You know, they're going to be drinking the cooking sherry. And the thing is, I feel, you know, when you have a little baby, you sing the baby to sleep. I think me and you should sing. Come on, you have the cutest little baby face. Frank's going to tell the baby, go Buchanan, go. Go Buchanan.
Why doesn't he just introduce himself instead of going through that charade? And actually, he gets through the phone screener, just like the other Gazuni, who wants to keep indicating that there's some internet source there about Jeanine Pirro. Ooh, that we all got to read about. These are Frank's listeners, huh? And what do I got to do? I'm going to get a triple hernia carrying these people for what? How many weeks that Frank is going to be? Maybe he'll be like Buttigieg. Maybe he'll take like 4 months of leave while the country is falling apart. You know, what is it? I never heard of this before. Man shows up at the baby ward in the hospital or next to the midwife who delivers. Man then goes back to work, right? There's no such thing. You state, no, there was none of this paternity leave. Now all of us, we have to have paternity leave with pay, I might add. With pay! I never heard of anything like this. I certainly didn't take advantage of that. And I had three sons. Except my story is not like the story of my three sons on TV that some of us grew up with. Too many of you hadn't been birthed yet, but my three sons, no. It's like the mother had the child. The mother had to do the heavy lifting. The mother had to do the nursing. The guy, he just went back to work and helped pay the bills. Now, all of a sudden, what do they need leave for? Tell me, what has Frank done that he needs leave? He's going to sit on his tuchus. He's going to go more barnacles on his backside. He's going to be knocking back drinks morning, noon, and night. What does he need leave for? What is he recovering from? He's ecstatic, right? He's in joy. He's euphoric. He's giving out free stogies and cigars to strangers, to homeless people. It doesn't matter. The DeNobola, the crooked Italian cigars. Why does he need paternity leave? What the hell has he done in this process other than give a donation in a Petri dish that enabled this to happen naturally? 1-800-848-9222. Paternity leave, really. I didn't believe it for the Buttigieg, and I don't believe it for Frank Morano and the rest of these guys who get over like fat rats. Oh, yeah, I need paternity leave. It may be a few months. I'm traumatized. What are you traumatized by? You didn't have a cesarean. Your wife did. Your wife might need 6 months of recovery time. What recovery time do you need? We know you're not going to be helping your wife. We know, guys, you're not going to be doting over your wife. You're going to be going out bowling with the guys, playing cards. You're going to be doing everything to avoid any kind of maternity duty. You're not going to be washing those dirty water diapers. Oh, boy, am I really dating myself? That's right. You got the Pampers now and the Huggies. But come on. You really, like, yeah. Yeah, the fathers are really going to be helping the mothers, right? We know the extended mother's family does all the helping if she has any sisters, her mother. The female members of the father's family will be helping. The guy only gets and interferes with the process. What the hell do guys need paternity leave for? Can anybody explain that? Buttigieg. Oh, I need months and months of paternity leave. Meantime, ships are backed up all the way to Hawaii. We got no supplies. Prices are going up. Inflation is skyrocketing. But Buttigieg. Oh, it's paternity leave. You know, it's in the law. It's guaranteed now. We fathers, we need to be there side by side with our wives while they nurse the baby. And we do nothing but get in the way and interfere. 1-800-848-9222. You really think Rachel wants Frank Morano around the house? Nursing Carmine William Morano. You really think we want Carmine learning all of Frank's bad habits when he can barely breathe? He's just about opening up his eyes. And the first thing he's going to see is Frank Morano with a cocktail in his hand at 10 o'clock in the morning smoking these stogies. Do we really want to expose Carmine William Morano to this? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Alfred, who's calling from Middle Village, one of my favorite locations, Middle Village, Maspeth, and Glendale. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Alfred.
Hi, Curtis. How are you?
Oh, hold on. Time out, Alfred. Let me go through the three rules, try to be cogent out there of these three rules, and I realize everyone else here at WABC, they're all slackers. They let you all get away with it. It's like you have a tick. It's like you have Tourette's. You have to keep repeating it. How are you doing? I've had better days. That's going to be my response. Thank you for taking my call. What the hell do you think I've just been doing, giving out numbers a mile a minute for the past few hours, right? And then the best one, first-time caller, long-time listener. Did I need to know all that information? Kabish. Hey, Alfred, Kabish. Where did Alfred go?
Curtis.
Yeah, Kabish. Yeah. Kabish, Alfred.
Yeah, Kabish.
All right. Now, go ahead. Go ahead, Alfred.
All right. I want to wish Frank Morano congratulations to his newborn. I spoke to you earlier, recommended you about the elbow. My son's related with the Pepinos. He's marrying the niece that works here. You took a picture with him. I saw you in Howard Beach. I said hi to you. I recommend that you go to the hospital for special surgery. Lucia works there.
What are you, a freaking doctor here? Alfred, you're recommending me to
I'm
a hospital?
I'm giving you advice.
Yeah. Well, thank God. Thank you for not shooting me in Howard Beach.
I want a good elbow.
If you want me to have a good elbow. You know, at the rate you're going with this information, I'll end up with Ronzoni Sonobroni elbow macaroni for an elbow.
No, you won't. That's the best hospital you can get your treatment at.
Oh, wait. The other guy told me it was Maimonides, right? Now, so you're telling me what hospital here?
HSS, the best hospital.
All right, now, Alfred.
Pepino's niece works there.
Did you go to medical school, Alfred?
No, I didn't go to medical. I have pizzerias in Middle Village.
I understand that. So what the hell do you know about hospitals?
I know, because that's my daughter-in-law, future daughter-in-law.
So your daughter-in-law tells you about HHS or whatever the name of that hospital is, and I'm supposed to go to this hospital to get major surgery on my elbow based on what she tells you, third Third person. Really, Alfred?
You don't need major surgery. You probably need minor surgery.
You know what? I need a good slice of pizza. You know, Alfred, that's what you know about. Pizza, right?
All right. I used to own Fortunatus on Metropolitan Avenue.
Oh, Fortunatus. Hey, I had a, so,
now
had a few.
Pepino's is my favorite pizza in Bay Ridge.
I know, but Alfred, I had a few people there at Fortunatus said they didn't necessarily like me, Alfred. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about? In Middle Village?
Where else? Like there are no mobsters choking on their lobsters in Middle Village, Alfred?
I don't know no mobsters.
Yeah,
I'm not a mobster.
That's why you own a pizza parlor. I don't know anything. I don't see anything. It's like Sergeant Schultz in Starlight 13. Show me a pizza parlor in which there are mobsters sometimes making visits. And it has nothing to do with the sauce. Or the mozzarella cheese. I'll tell you that much. Let's go to Anna. Calling from the Bronx about Frank going on paternity leave. Go for it, Anna.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I feel that he does have to take off because he has to help feed the baby every 2 hours. So Rachel will be getting tired. You know, she needs a break for him to help out around.
Anna, do you really think Frank, who's going to be knocked out, it's like by noon he's already had 4 dry cocktails. You really think he's going to be... Oh, yeah. And I'm afraid that he might actually put a cocktail mixture in the baby's bottle when he's warming it up.
Since he's a night owl person, more than likely, I think he will. Yeah. And I also had a feeling yesterday before she called him up at night, whatever, text him at 5:15 that she was going to give birth yesterday.
So wait a second. Hold on. Here's another soothsayer, another swami. Uh-huh. Anna, you had the feeling she was going to give birth yesterday, but we have no documentary evidence of that. You didn't write it down. Yes. You didn't put it in a bottle.
But a lot of times I usually have like an intuition. I usually have premonitions and stuff like that ahead of time. So
Do you consult the Santeria priests and priestesses before you have these?
No, but ever since I was young, I used to pick up on things like that. Yes.
You do go sometimes to the Santeria store, don't you?
No. I don't, you know, follow that at all.
No, I know. But look, out of curiosity, haven't you ever visited those shops, huh?
No.
All right. I'm not going to press the issue on you, but I find them fascinating. Whenever I see them, I go in there and I look at all the saints and I said, gee, that looks like some of the saints that I grew up with in the Roman Catholic Church, although they look a little different. It's like sometimes when I go to feasts, Sicilian feasts, and they tell me, oh, there's St. Rocco. I said, Rocco? What family is he with, the Bananos or the Columbos? What do you mean, St. Rocco? Anyway, let's go to Danny, who's calling from Oyster Bay, Long Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Danny?
I took a sobriety test, so I'm not drinking, Curtis, okay? Just so you know in the beginning. I like Frank Morano. I don't want to mix him up with the other guy, but I said he was going to have a boy. He was going to have a good-looking boy, just like him and his wife. Frank cannot have a daughter. You know that. Frank, the girl would look like him. It just wouldn't work out. You know, he's going to. Frank cannot have daughters. The daughter would look like the father, and then it just it don't work out sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It just, you know, girls have like round faces and stuff. Not round, you know, I don't want to talk about it, but he's got a beautiful baby boy. He's going to grow up to be a strong kid. And Rachel's got to be doing good right now. She's got to be on top of the world and everything. I know Frankie's on Richmond Boulevard now smoking a big stogie with a cowboy hat or something, going out there partying like Hardy, like there's no tomorrow. And then he's going to be changing diapers. But today, Curtis, you know it, like years ago, the aunts would come over, the grandmas would come over, and they'd help the woman out with the baby. Now grandma's down in Florida. She's in an air-conditioned lobby in some building. The sisters are out in California. They're still flower girls 50 years later. And the poor girl needs someone to come in there. You call it paternity leave. I thought it was maternity leave that Frank would go on.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't think Rachel has any need of assistance from Frank Morano. that would be detrimental to the development of this young child. Again, if you haven't heard the news, at 9:11 this evening, Carmine William Morano entered the world, the help of a midwife, bringing him into the Richmond County Hospital for delivery.
Maternity leave, they call it, trying to figure out how to breastfeed. No word on how that went.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Check this out.
No one knows New York better. The founder of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
You can't compete against that.
On 77 WABC.
Okay, we're back on track here. As you know, Frank Morano tonight, if you're just joining us, his wife Rachel delivered into the world Carmine William Morano, who was 13 pounds. Man, that's a big kid. At Richmond County Hospital at approximately 9:11 earlier this past evening. 9:11, I'm a little troubled by that. Kids at Sagittarius, we went through all of that. We'll give you updates. But apparently the midwife is helping Rachel nurse while Frank is already on to his sixth cocktail. He's got a few boxes of the Noble cigars, the Crooked Italian cigars. He'll be giving them out. He'll be very generous tomorrow up Forest Avenue, Victory Boulevard, and Highland Boulevard as he celebrates fatherhood. But now I want to discuss a problem that has become quite apparent here in WABC with some of my colleagues. If they don't know it, they should be taught it, that this is the number one news station, talk station in America, with 50,000 powerful watts of sound. If you're lucky enough to do overnights like Frank Morano, The Other Side of Midnight, or his protege, Frankie Russo, member of the JV squad here at WABC, when you're broadcasting at night from 1 in the morning to 5, you're being heard in 38 states and parts of Canada and down in Bermuda, the Bermuda Triangle, which probably has led to many boats going under there. But you can actually hear it. I've had calls from there. I've done overnight radio before. Some of the greatest talk radio hosts have been before these microphones doing talk radio at night, which is theater of the mind. Theater of the mind. Some of the greatest of all time. We talked about Art Bell, that Looney Kazooney from Parts Unknown, who at one time you could be crisscrossing the country and go right across the AM dial, AM standing for active-minded as opposed to FM, freaking morons. And in some locations, you could have heard Art Bell on three different stations in the same area simultaneously. That's how popular he was. And I used to come on before Art Bell, and I declared a radio jihad on him before 9/11. Couldn't use that term afterwards because he had taken up an hour of my time. And, you know, I don't forgive and I don't forget. And I used to bum rush the Art Bell show. I used to actually cut into his programs and reconfigurate the signal from the Lodi Tower, which was a violation of FCC standards, but I never got held responsible for that. And I had a running battle. And eventually I met with Art Bell when he was doing a show here from the studios of WABC, and he told me his background. He was born and raised in Paterson, New Jersey, son of a building superintendent. He used to go up on the rooftop of the tenement. He could see the silhouette of New York City in the distance and hear talk radio. He had his little Sony, radio that he would keep compressed to his ear like I did when I was a kid in the 60s and that so many of you did. Mostly listening to baseball games, but also listening to talk radio. Unless you were into freestyle FM, you know, all the WNEW classic hits that were being played at that time. But the point was, you mostly listen to AM for sports and for talk radio. And at that time, the big talkie station was WMCA. Long John Neville, Candy Jones overnight. In fact, it was such great theater of the mind that Long John Nebels had us convinced that his wife was Candy Jones and that she was a CIA agent, and it was believable. And that's the kind of radio that Art Bell grew up listening to. And then he parlayed that into doing theater of the mind overnight across the nation from little Pahrump, Nevada, a one traffic light town in the shadow of Las Vegas, miles away. You could actually see the silhouette of Las Vegas, the lights in the distance. And it had the chicken shack down the road, which is where there's legal prostitution. And he did this broadcast all across the nation from a double wide body trailer. Yeah. Some people would say crazy. I would just say because he was a success, eccentric. Like in the old neighborhoods we grew up, you know, you'd see a guy who's a crazy guy. If all of a sudden he had some coin, he had earned some wealth, he was a success. You said, he's not crazy. He's eccentric. But that's the great overnight talk radio that WABC has produced. And then, who could forget Alan B. Combs? At night, he was classic theater of the mind. It wasn't politics. He was doing cultural and social issues, and he was doing mind-bending subject matters that were very relaxing to your medulla and your cerebellum. Alan B. Combs. And I did overnight radio for a period of time here at WABC. And now Frank Morano has inherited that mantle, which is a very special place for radio listeners because at points, some of you are laying parallel to the ground right now. You have those little ear listening buds in your ears. You may have your partner next to you, your wife, your husband, whoever it is. You don't want to disturb them. Maybe they're not listeners. And this sort of like lulls you to sleep. So it's working on your subconscious. It's the most personal form of talk radio. It's different than the other day parts. Totally different. But I've noticed a certain trend now here at WABC, which is quite troubling to me. Knowing how difficult it is to get here to WABC, there are men and women who are dedicating their lives to talk radio. They're broadcasting from 2-watt chicken shacks in the middle of Davenport, Iowa. Their dream is to go and broadcast in Chicago or Detroit or New York or Boston or a major urban area that has a big 50,000 powerful watt station. So they're plying their trade. And yet some of them, only a few, will get that opportunity. So we got two guys here, and they happen to be brothers from another planet. I don't get it. Maybe it comes with the racial composition of our talk show host. But there's Dominic Carter. He was the voice. He was the image of New York One when it broke into TV newscasting here in the greater New York metropolitan area. And then he segued into reporting for other news outlets as a TV reporter, and then he decided, no, his place to be is WABC, News Talk Radio, and he's done a great job ever since. But I don't know what it is. I guess he can't figure it out that this is not WWRL, the great R&B station that used to exist on the AM part of the dial. That's the one I used to listen to. Not so much WABC. Not so much WINS, which was top 40 at the time. Or WMCA, which was also top 40 at the time. Or WWRL. Or WBLS. Or the old KISS. And just want to be a crooner. So the other night I'm listening, and all of a sudden there's a rejoin, a musical rejoin. And Dominic Carter thinks that all of a sudden, you know, Motown is going to hire him. Listen to this.
And we are back. Dominic Carter with you. Leave the music up, please. I love this song. I think it goes back to my college days. I can't go for that. Just bear with me 1 second, folks. You want me to do, but I can't go for that.
Oh, God. Spare me. I mean, he's out there in Ramapo in Rockland County. You would think, save it for the shower stall. Go in the basement. You know, it'll scare away all the bears and the deer out there in Ramapo. Oh, my God, that is like some of the worst singing I've ever heard. So I just launched an all-out attack on Dominic Carter, trying to remind him, Dominic, you're on the number one news talk station in the nation. What are you talking about? In fact, he wasn't talking. He was singing. And then apparently another listener took him to task, Aubrey, who called him up and basically told him exactly what I had told him.
Or do anything else but talk politics on the holidays. But go ahead.
I understand. LOL, just don't sing. But
Hey, wait, Audrey. You must be talking to Curtis Sliwa, because I attempted to do a note on Friday night, and then you told me don't ever sing again, and then Curtis Sliwa sent me an email, and he said, spare us, please don't sing. So you and Curtis must be in cahoots with each other.
Now think of it. Cousin Brucey, right? Hey, cousins out there. He's been doing that music, spinning stacks of wax for decades. I never heard Cousin Brucey singing, did you? Come on, he went to Madison High School with the Schmuck to Putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, with Bernie the Altacaca Sanders. I never heard him singing. I never heard these other jocks singing. What makes Dominic Carter think that he can actually sing? He's got to be tone deaf. Anyway, I don't know if any of you have noticed that trend that's taking place here now at WABC. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. What do you think maybe the remedy is? I think it's because John Katsimatidis has now mixed music in as part of the entertainment format here at WABC with News Talk Radio, that some of the hosts are getting a little confused. You know, Tony Orlando. Yes, he sings. That's what he does. So he's going to sing a few tunes while spinning stacks of wax. And then there's Joe Piscopo. He sings while he's spinning Sinatra stacks of wax. I get that. But not Dominic Carter. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But speaking of brothers from another planet, I was listening the other day to James Golden. His formerly assistant producer, phone screener for Rush Limbaugh when he was alive, number one host in talk radio at the time. And so he's had his opportunity to do a show here at WABC, not only during the week right after Mike Wombatichich, Rudy Giuliani from 4 to 5, but also Saturdays from 8 to 10. And so all of a sudden he's engaged with a caller and he's talking about how he wants to take singing lessons. Here it is. He's on the number one news talk station in the nation, and he wants to take singing lessons to sing on WABC.
Diane, welcome. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. How are you this afternoon, Diane?
Mr. Golden, I am fine, and you are very fine. And so I'm talking about something off topic, and it's your singing voice.
Oh.
Which I love your voice.
Oh,
and
thank you.
You make me melt every day I listen to you. So anyway, I heard about Barry White and that he had a very limited vocal range, but that he used it to its full capacity. Now, if you'll notice, he really doesn't sing. He kind of, like, I think he might have been one of the first rappers.
He phrases. He uses phrases, but he does sing. He phrases, but he uses...
Yes, but you know what? I think I did hear some gentleman talk to you about giving you voice lessons. I think you should take it.
You do?
I do. I think you're awesome, and I think... I always thought that you sounded so much like him, but you have a different tone to your voice. But anyway, I think you're wonderful, and I thank you for being such a good friend and ally of Russia's, and thank you so much, and I really appreciate you. You have
Diane, you made my day. You're so lovely. Thank you so much. And you know, I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to try to find, they gave me the number. The guy called and he said he would volunteer to help teach me, and they gave me the number. And I don't know what happened to the number. I've been looking for it for months and months. So if he's still out there and he wants it serious, I'm serious. I will, because you said so, I will take singing lessons. And then I'll try to sing you a song, Diane, just a song just for you. If I do it, if I can find his number and take voice lessons and we can record it, I'll sing you a song.
What, does he get sexual gratification out of that? What the hell, does he think he's another Barry White? He's on the number one news talk station in the nation. He's talking about getting singing lessons. He wants to sort of resurrect Barry White. What is wrong with James Golden? I've known James Golden for years. He came from Queens, Southeast Queens. He used to team up with Joel Santisteban. They did a program on Saturdays, Minorities with Priorities. I'm sure some of you remember that. Joel was a Cuban-American. He worked at WABC. At that time, Rush was broadcasting from WABC when I was there in a number of different roles, broadcasting morning, noon, and night. And James Golden Bo Snerdly, he was his phone screener. What the hell has gotten into him? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Tommy, calling from the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Tommy.
Curtis, welcome home. I'd rather hear Alfalfa singing to Darla, "She loves me, she loves me not." You know, these guys thinking they're singers and everything. Just because you sound like somebody when you're talking doesn't mean you're going to sound like them when you start singing. He might sound like, you know, he might sound like someone entirely different. He might sound like Ozzy Osbourne when he's singing, you know, Crazy Train or something. But the bottom line is, people should, you should do it too, take voice lessons, because your money is made with your voice. You got to protect your voice, strengthen your vocal cords, me, 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 me. And do that just as a thing, as a protective thing, but think to enhance your vocals, because your voice is your basically your paycheck, my man. And it's not, I don't laugh at people who want to take singing lessons. I can sing. The summer wind came smoozing in from across the airwaves. It lingered there till anybody you guess called in. Oh, the summer wind. But singing is, you have to have an ear for music, okay? Can you sing that song? You don't have to have a great voice. People say Mick Jagger doesn't have a great voice. I'm not going to come say he doesn't have one. It does have one. But the bottom line is, he has an ear for music, and he can belt out the songs, obviously belt out the hits for 60 years. We didn't think that'd be wheeling him out in a wheelchair when he was 90 years old. But
well,
he was doing time.
I tell you what, Tommy. I'm going to suggest that to Dominic, that he starts singing Crazy Train like Ozzy Osbourne and bite a bat's head off while he's performing. I don't know what this is. Midlife crisis. I think that's what it is, Dominic. I mean, I'm older than Dominic. I'm 67, so I think Dominic's in his 50s. I think James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, I think, you know, most guys are in a midlife crisis. They want to get a convertible. You know, all of a sudden they get plugs in their head. You know, they get new teeth, horse teeth. You know, they do something cosmetically to make them feel younger. A lot of guys out there listening right now, I'm sure they're going through that midlife crisis. But I guess the midlife crisis for Dominic Carter and a.k.a. Bo Snerdly is that they want to start singing. And yet, they're lousy singers. But I could easily see if Dominic Carter got up on a stage and bit a bat's head off, like Ozzy Osbourne, you know, singing Crazy Train, that might work. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's just not enough.
See, that's when you take to the dance floor. You had your marshmallow shoes, your platform shoes, your bell-bottom pants, and your polyester waffle weave flame retardant shirt. It should have been cotton to absorb all the sweat, and you get into that hustle. Oh, great memories there. Now, by the way, for those who are musical aficionados, just like Rick James had his Mary Jane girls up there in Buffalo while he was coking up his brain morning, noon, and night, what was the female ensemble, I love them all, that were part and parcel of Barry White's presentation, especially when he went out on the concert tour? We are going to give you a Curtis Sliwa booby prize for that. Don't ask, don't tell. We're so cheap, we throw manholes around like nickels around like manhole covers. But who was the group, the female group that accompanied Barry White, that sang some of the greatest classical R&B songs of all time? Meantime, let's go back to the phone, because listening to Dominic sing in Ramapo in Rockland County triggered off this discussion. Maybe the worst singing I've ever heard. And the guy doesn't understand. He needs to keep it in the shower stall there. Let's go to Giuseppe calling from Queens. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Giuseppe.
Yeah, hi, Curtis. Is it possible, if you look at like a baseball player that didn't warm up before he got in the batter's box, Is that a remote possibility that Dominic needed to warm up? And could you see that?
You're right. No. I remember. Remember in high school when you play high school ball, they didn't. Right. You didn't have a chance to warm up if you had to come in as a relief pitcher. They usually took you right off at third base. The coach came out, humiliated the starting pitcher, and then say, "Curtis, come here. Here's the ball. Pitch." You had like three throws to the catcher. Next guy up, hit the ball over the fence. You said, "But coach,
you know that actually happened to me, Curtis.
It happened to me
that
many
actually
times.
Happened to me.
Yep.
And otherwise, the previous year I had been like an ace pitcher, but they just had me stuck at third base. Took me in at the end of the game. I got three warm-ups, and, you know, I struck out two really good hitters, but I got belted.
So it wasn't like batting practice. You know, you went to the mound, and then they were hitting rockets off you.
Right. I still understand how good I was the year before, but I was on a really good team, and they just had me on third base. And I had a great arm for third base, even if I bobbled it, I could still rifle it to third.
Oh, well, that was a strong arm. I mean, that's like...
I had a very strong arm, but they just didn't use me as a pitcher. And I kept saying, I want to pitch, and that's how they put me in. They took me from third base. And that's exactly what happened to me.
It happened to all of us back then. There was no time to warm up. The coach finally said to the kid, hey, it's time to hit the showers, kid. Hey, you, third baseman, get in here. Throw a few pitches. That's it. And the umpire would say, okay, let's get back to the game. Because remember, it was only seven innings. They didn't let you play nine innings unless it was a tie game.
But I still remember. It still hurts. It's funny how those things still hurt.
You're scarred. You're scarred. You see, Dominic? You're scarred. Why didn't the coach just go to you and let you start the freaking game?
Right. Get some warm-ups. And I was so good like a previous couple of years. You know, I literally went, I think it was 50 innings in a row without walking someone.
Wow. Now, did you load the ball up a little bit? You know, did you sort of wipe your brow on the ball? Did you have a little bit of that grease
under your
cap?
I got a little book. I thought there was a little book in a bookstore that showed you how to do grips and position your fingers.
Yep.
So I could get the screwball and the curveball just by, you know, putting more pressure on one finger, having a certain grip across the seams, you know, next to the seams. And for some reason, that worked for me. And that was, for me, proof of the existence of God. Because, I mean, it was like the book was meant just for me.
Oh, you see that? You see, maybe it was. And by the way, I never was able to throw the screwball because you had a reverse turn, what you would for a curveball. But I did end up hitting quite a few screwballs in Canarsie with a Louisville slugger. They were human screwballs, you know, walking around. Real jadrules, knuckle draggers. But, Joe, I appreciate those memories. So maybe I ought to give some slack to Dominic is what you're saying. He just didn't have a warm-up. He was coming out cold, and he wasn't at his best.
Right. Just give him one more shot. Let him warm up and give him one more chance.
I think we need to pick a better song also. I didn't like the song that he picked. By the way, nobody has come up with the group that were the backup singers for Barry White. I mean, come on, they were so good. I'm surprised at all of you out there. 1-800-848-9222. You're vying for the Curtis Sliwa Booby Prize. Don't ask, don't tell. Remember, I throw nickels around like manhole covers, so I'm too embarrassed to say what it is. But you would figure, just as a trivia answer, you would know who the backup singers were. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jack in Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here on WABC, Jack.
Hello, Curtis. I love you guys. I wanted to say, you know, I love Dominic, but I think maybe he should keep the thing to the shower. You know, I think what he was doing was he realized he was on number one radio station, and I think he got a little nervous, so he decided to sing it off.
Yeah, maybe I've been a little too hard on him, Jack. You know, he is a new Jack here. I've been at this 30 years in talk radio. He's been mostly on television. Maybe I should slacken off of him in terms of this constructive criticism, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're making me feel bad, Jack.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Okay, you're gonna tell me, huh, Jack? You're gonna tell me, right, Jack?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you. All right, listen. Constructive criticism is amazing. So I think it's good that you told him that he should keep the singing in the shower because he needs to know that for the future.
Well, you know what, Jack? I'm detecting from your method of speech that maybe we should send him to a cantor. You think that might work, Jack?
Maybe. I doubt it. You know,
but look,
you can't necessarily fix.
Right, but the cantors train, they develop that voice. You know, there's the rabbi, there's the cantor. I think if we have him show up for a minion, and when they're desperate, you know, and they got to have the 12, Dominic Carter could fill in. And
minion
then,
is 10.
No, you see, I'm a Gentile. What would I know, right? To me, 10 is 12, 12 is 24. You know, what can I say? But maybe if we got Dominic involved in performing as part of a minion, we could convince a cantor. We can't let them hear Dominic sing first. We can convince a cantor to sort of take them through the hoops because they practice. I've actually seen those cantors go up the scale and down the scale.
Yeah, sure. Exercise that they do.
Yeah. All right. Look. Hey, we're going to work this out for Dominic. It may not be the Gentile way. It may be the Jewish way, whatever it is. He's out there in Rockland County. We could send him to Muncie. So lots of shuls and synagogues, lots of cantors, or guys who think they're cantors. You ever hear them sing? I remember the cantor at the synagogue that both my young sons went to in Forest Hills. The guy started singing. I started crying. He thought I was wailing, you know, at the wailing wall. No, he was so bad. I mean, he was so bad. Anyway, let's go to Angela, who's calling from East 49th Street as opposed to East 59th Street. Angela, why did you have to specify East 49th Street?
Because sometimes I look up when you're on the air. It's kind of nice to see you when I'm going to the store. I see that red beret.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, do you have the answer for the Curtis Sliwa Booby Prize? Don't ask, don't tell, because I throw nickels around like manhole covers. Who were the backup singers for Barry White?
Love Unlimited.
Yes, Love Unlimited. Hey, Maestro here, you better come up with a Love Unlimited song. Here we go, yes. Oh, so good. All night long, I'd be on the dance floor. First with Barry White, and then Love Unlimited. Just out there doing the hustle. And, you know, the other guys, they don't dance. They sit on the sidelines. So I'm dancing with, like, 3, 4, 5 different girls at the same time. Listen. Yeah, here it goes.
I know. The hustle was a great dance.
Absolutely fluid. That shows you got a little grace, a little style, a little cum si qua, whatever that French word is.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. All right, enough of that. Enough of the memories there. But Angela, it's amazing, Angela. I want you to stay online because we are going to send you the Curtis Sliwa Booby Prize. Remember, don't ask, don't tell. We're too embarrassed because we throw nickels around like manhole covers here at WABC to tell you what it is. But it'll probably be the return of Curtis Sliwa to WABC baseball cap. How would you like that, Angela?
It's great. I'd love it.
This is great. Hey, Phil, make sure you get all of her information here since you were so specific that she was calling from East 49th Street, not East 59th Street or East 69th Street. So what the hell is this? I've never seen anything like that before in my life. Where are you calling from? Oh, I'm calling from East 49th Street. Next thing, the one payphone that's left in all of New York City. Anyway, Angela, stay on the line. By the way, Angela was the name of my very first girlfriend in Canarsie who did me wrong. Really did me wrong. Now I got nightmares. So, you know, Angela was like the best thing in the world. I think, what was it? Bildersee Junior High School, right. And at that time, I was quite the singer. Yeah. Oh, I used to sing solos. In PS 114 in the assembly, there was me and there was Bonnie Goldstein, and we would sing. And I was, like, doing the Frank Sinatra routine. I was pretty damn good. And I think we sort of like, whew, there was a little chemistry there. Didn't last for very long because the father saw me and said he would break my legs if I came anywhere near Angela. And this guy was rough. And I was just a teenager at that time. And I had enough problems with the Gavones, the Lucchesis, and the Gambinos there. This guy said, I will take your leg, kid, and I will bend it in your pocket if you go anywhere near my Angelina. But the point was, I was a singer. I was singing different Frank Sinatra songs, not necessarily as good as Joe Piscopo. No, no, oh, that's a great show, Ramsey Subaru at night on Sundays. You don't want to miss it. But I was trying my best, Strangers in the Night. That was my classic. And the girls would start carooning and swooning. And I'll never forget, my cousin Butchie said, hey, I'm getting married. He grew up in Howard Beach there. My Aunt Mary said, yeah, he wants you to sing solo, Ave Maria. In the church, you know, up there, the organ, by myself. I was doing a solo for Butchie's marriage. All the family, the friends, they packed the church. It was in Ozone Park. I forget which one, St. Stanislaus, or was the other one, right on Rockaway. And I hit the high note, and it cracked. It cracked. And I never went back to singing again. Because all of a sudden, I realized I was no longer a soprano. Oh, I had a good voice. I was in the choral group at St. Matthew's Elementary School, the Irish Christian Nuns there on Eastern Parkway, Utica Avenue. Notice, when you were in the choir, you wore red. Get it? I wasn't going to be no altar boy. Oh, no. I knew how those priests were with altar boys, even at a young age in the 60s. I was not going to be with those priests. Because it was really the nuns who were in charge of the choral arrangements. All boys at that time, we all wore red, and we all were sopranos. In fact, we felt like castrated roosters because you felt like if you wanted to keep the voice high, maybe you would have to be castrated like a capon, right? A castrated rooster. Keep that voice high. Well, my voice cracked, and I never went back to singing. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Vincenz calling from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Vincenz.
Yes, sir, Curtis. I got one for you to pick on. Bernard McGurk sings in the morning all the time.
That's true. That's true. You're spot on, but he sings very well.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want you to get mad.
No, but again, his complexion is his protection here because unlike Dominic Carter and unlike James Golden, he's not African-American, so we got to give him a pass. And he also has legacy. He's got legacy.
Let me tell you something quick. I've laughed so much since you've been on this evening because I'm 64 years old, a little bit younger than you, and I've been so hard the way you came out, going after everybody, don't say hello to me, don't ask me about nothing, and all that, you know. It's like, man.
That's right, because you see,
radio.
Vincenz, too often, my fellow colleagues, they have a love fest with the listeners, you know. The listener
that's
comes on. I know, but they like to have their shorts or their bloomers chewed and their chains pulled. You know, they love that. You know, it's like people call up and say, Frank, you're such a genius. I love you, Frank. And Frank can't get enough of it.
They want to be there. I'm loved. I love.
Right,
I'm
right.
Popular.
And they go because they're insecure. They're insecure.
So everyday life is
they
like
let
that.
The yentas go on and on. The male yentas, the female yentas. Oh, I love you, Frank. You're the best. And so they let them talk for 5 minutes. And the callers realize that as long as I stroke the host or the hostess, they'll let me talk for a mile a minute. Meantime, the moment that happens to me, I get upset. I say, I realize what you're trying to do, your strategy here. This is like a form of radio talk tricknology. The more you praise me, the more I'm going to keep you on, right?
Right. And that's not what it is.
Well, you know what I do? You know what I do to them? You know what I do, Vincenz? I introduce them to Mr. Click. So they're talking. They don't realize for about 2-3 minutes that I've already hung up on them.
But they're so afraid of their ratings that, oh, they won't never listen to me. If I do that to 3 people,
you're
before
right.
You know, it's going to be 100 people.
Because Vince,
and then there goes my ratings.
Vincenz, like Frank Morano, like Frankie Russo, the two guys, the other side of midnight, one's, you know, one's obviously has earned his way into the varsity. The other one, he's JV.
But I can't listen to him on Saturday nights. That's too annoying. I'm tired of his... Frankie Russo, this and that. Listen, I grew up in Brooklyn. I'm Italian. And I come on with that stuff.
Well, you know what it is. It comes...
I actually heard him speak some nights, and he's not a stupid guy.
No. No, he's not stupid, though. But you see, it's insecure.
He's trying too hard.
Yes. You see, a perfect. Great analysis, Vincenz. He's trying too hard, and they're insecure in being who they are, both Frank Morano and Frankie Russo. That's why they like to be stroked by all their listeners. Oh, yeah.
Well, I know. I'm not a fool. I see these, you know, the way they react.
Yeah. No, you're on to it. You're 64. But let me tell you something. As a talk radio listener, you got it. You nailed it. You nailed it, Vincenz. He understands. This is theater of the mind. Come on. Anyway, let's go to, who's this? Raj. Or Raji or Ruji. What's your name, Raj?
Raji, thank you. Welcome back. Curtis, the saddest day, practically, you know, one of the saddest days of my life was when you left WABC to run for the mayor's office.
Why was that a sad day
for you? And the worst day, one of the worst days of my life was when you didn't make it, unfortunately. I did call many of the...
Hold on a second, Raj. You got me a little confused. Your saddest day was when I left WABC in March to run for mayor because the moment I announced, all of my opponents complained to the FCC, we want equal time. And you know, they can't do talk radio, so of course I had to leave. And then you got sad because I didn't win becoming the mayor. You can't be sad for both those reasons. Because if I didn't leave, I couldn't become the mayor. So why don't you make up your mind, Raj?
Well, I wanted, because it was more important for you to become mayor than to be a continuing voice on WABC.
Very
you know,
good,
I
and Raj.
You the best talk show host on the planet. Even better than Bob. Believe me, I'm not kissing your butt.
That's it.
I've said this to
Grant. I got to tell you. You have disparaged the king of talk radio, Bob Grant. You cannot do that. He was my mentor. We're going to get into that in the next hour. But Raj, you see, that's the height. He's like the peacock when it comes to pulling your chain and chewing your shorts or your bloomers. You see, another talk show host or hostess would love that. They would be like, oh my God. They would be tickled to death. Oh, you're my favorite. Get out of here. You probably tell that to every talk show that you call up, Raj. Oh, you're my favorite. You probably tell that to Dominic. You probably tell that to Rita. You probably tell that to James Golden. You probably tell that to Mike Kumbadichich, Rudy Giuliani. You probably tell that to everybody here at WABC. You probably look in the mirror and say that to yourself. Oh, you're my favorite person in the whole world. You don't get through the bull feather meter with me. That's bull feathers. Come on. Anyway, let's give everyone a chance to sort of re-script momentarily. But first, I want to go to the Irish Riviera along the Hudson River in Rockland County, Pearl River. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Ryan.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do they fall in love? Why do birds sing so gay? Why do they fall in love? Why does the rain fall from above? Why do fools fall in love? Everybody plays the fool, and Raj will be calling in later as Joe, just to let you know. Listen, you are the maestro tonight because you are hanging up on people, calling people names, and we love it. This audience loves to be abused late at night. You talked about people drinking, cooking sherry. I think you're supposed to cook with cooking sherry, but that is just part of it. If those guys want to take singing lessons and voice lessons and everything, let them. Let them do all they want. Let them sing. I don't think they think they're going to really sound like anybody great or anything like that, but if they can sing and hold a note, let them sing and let them do
all
their
right.
thing.
But for Thanksgiving, I got to tell you, Ryan, for Thanksgiving, you might be right. Maybe I need to put all of this angst aside. this hubris aside, these are words I don't even know what they mean, but they sound good, so I'm just going to repeat it, right? You ever notice some people, they use words, and you know damn well when they're talking. They have no idea what they're saying, but they know it sounds good. It's very impressive. And some other people say, oh, that's so cogent of you, Mr. Sliwa. That is so cogent of you. I said, how can it be cogent? You don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm saying, but it sounds good, right? Oh, it's so cogent, Mr. Sliwa. While they're having their Long Island iced tea and they're half in the bag because it's like the fourth Long Island iced tea they've had. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222. I'm looking for cogent listeners to the Frank Morano Show here. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
WABC.
Okay, girls, ready to go?
Yeah!
Mom, I'm hungry. Can I have a snack?
Me too, Mommy.
You want a snack?
Yeah!
Got it?
Children learn from our behaviors.
Mommy, can you open this?
All right, hold on 1 second. Okay. Okay, here.
Thank you.
They learn what is okay from the adults they see.
Mommy, are you on your phone?
If you're a distracted driver, chances are they will be too. What kind of driver are you raising? Funded by the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee.
That's what everybody's talking about. Talking about Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Sunday morning at 11. It's the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
On 77 WABC.
77 WABC. Where the action is.
Frankie, you know, I hate Frank Sinatra. I really do. He was up at the Westchester County House with all my enemies, the Gambinos, Carlo there. I can never forgive him for that. But when I would break out in this song, hey, remember, I'm a kid. I'm in what, sixth grade, PS-114, Friday Assembly, and I'd be singing this, and the girls would be crooning, and then at Bill DeCee Junior High School. Something in your eyes. Then all of a sudden, next thing you know, my mom's saying, hey, Curtis, you're chasing skirts, your marks are plummeting, it's time for you to go to an all-boys school. What? An all-boys school? Yeah, Brooklyn Prep. Aye. And then they ended up kicking me to the curb in my senior year, and I never looked back. Well, we'll save that for another night. But I need help. Talking about people who want to act smart and sound smart. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, I think she's about 92 years old, the other day was celebrating her ability to coalesce AOC and the squad with the moderate Democrats to get legislation pushed onto the Senate. And she was asked a series of questions, and because, you know, she's got to sound like an intellect. She's got to sound like she knows what she's talking about. Can anybody tell me what the hell Nancy Pelosi was saying?
Messaging, because that they have to take some of those things out regardless, no matter what you send over. You said you weren't going to send a messaging bill.
No, we're not sending a messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub. They're the two exercises we're getting engaged. Bathing exercises we're engaged in, and we're getting good responses. There's no bad answer. You know, it is what it is.
There's no bad answer. It is what it is. Birdbath, privilege squad. What the hell was she talking about? And you would have thought somebody in that audience would have said, hey, lady, what the hell are you talking about? You know, they got to give a cognitive test to these old geezers. They really do. Yeah, what is she, 92? Joe Biden, I think, what is he, 88? Donald Trump is going to be like, what, 78? I mean, they're all up there in age. They need to be cognitive tests. Anyway, if anybody can translate what Nancy Pelosi said, Maestro, you're going to have to play that again, Nancy Pelosi, because she was trying to use those highfalutin words, you know, multisyllabic words to try to sound like she's an intellect, which we know she's not. Try to figure this out. I'm going to give our numbers out. Maybe some of you picked up on some of it, not all of it. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
messaging because that they have to take some of those things out regardless, no matter what you send over? You said you weren't going to send a messaging bill.
No, no, we're going to send a messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub. They're the two exercises we're engaged, bathing exercises we're engaged in. And we're getting good responses. There's no bad answer. You know, it is what it is.
There's no bad answer. It is what it is. That was a horrible answer. Why didn't you just acknowledge that, you know, I got a little tongue twisted here. I really didn't. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Let's go to Giuseppe in the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Giuseppe.
I don't know what a Giuseppe is, but I know Nancy Pelosi is definitely on the Cook and Sherry. I mean, you could cook with Cook and Sherry or cook with Sherry, but you're not supposed to be drinking it. And she's definitely in the bag half the time. She's drunk. She answers questions. She goes out there. She knocks over the microphone. I mean, basically, they should just have the SLN Saturday Night Live cameras come in there with the camera crew and just film the whole thing. But I really think this country has really gone nuts. You're better off not being the mayor. You don't need that headache, Curtis. You don't need coming out there and with the press asking you stupid questions, looking to hang you on every word that you say. You're better off just being behind the microphone. You are talented. Bob Grant, I remember when you filled in for Bob Grant with Lisa, and in the morning you did the morning show. During the morning show, you would knock Bob Grant. They'd go back on the air when Bob took off in the afternoon and praise him, and in the morning you would knock him. You know what I'm saying, right? I was a young dude at the time. I loved it. I loved that kind of talk radio. Bob would go at it with the callers. He would roll in the mud with the callers. He would come out. He'd be like a regular guy. He was just an average-looking dude. He looked like Bigfoot after he started fighting with the callers. He wouldn't hang up on callers. Why would you want to hang up with him? It was the funniest thing in the world when he talks to the callers. If he didn't go at it with the callers, that was half his show. He was funny. We know he had the keg hour, get it, Grant, all that stuff. After Whitman, you know, I hate to use a cliche, threw him under the bus. I hate that term. I really hate it. But he said he never talked politics again. I called. I said, Bob, you're full of it. Politics is your half your show. The other half of the show is the callers, all the people calling in. Great stuff. You would fill in. All the people who filled in for him. One guy filled in for him. Got his shot with the Bob Grant show. Got a national show. Would never give Bob any credit. He would just say, I filled in for some guy on WABC. That dude was Bob Grant. Come on. Don't talk that way.
That's right.
I remember that.
The king of talk radio. Excellent. Although that's really Steve from Manhattan. We have a phone screen here, Phil. Philip was
get
like,
off my phone.
It was a real tone deaf here. You know, this Steve keeps calling through, you know, go Buchanan, go Buchanan. Phil, maybe it's like his Siamese twin. I'm telling you, he's getting greased. He's getting payola here, Phil. Anyway, they couldn't help me too much with Nancy Pelosi, but maybe you can help me with this commercial trailer. Commercials are having longer and longer trailers attached to them. Some of them will only have like 10 seconds of information, and then they'll have like a trailer attached of 50 seconds. A lot of times it has to do with medicines that they're hawking over the air. Could be Levitra, could be Viagra. It could be any of the medicines that you commonly see sold on the air, and they tell you all the good things. People have happy faces, but then there's 45 seconds of doom and gloom and how you can end up in the ER or the ICU or dead and buried in room temperature. It's happening all the time. This one in particular, I really need help. If there's anybody out there who can actually tell me what this commercial trailer says, and if you can, you're a genius.
With a licensed insurance agent, visit easymedicare.com on Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. EST, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. EST. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, has neither reviewed nor approved this information with regard to the federal Medicare program. Easymedicare.com is powered by eTelgoid Insurance, Inc., a private duly licensed insurance agency appointed by Medicare Advantage, HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans and standalone prescription drug plans and insurance companies holding Medicare contracts approved by CMS. Enrollment in any plan for coverage subject to insurance company approval. This information is not a complete description of benefits. Contact the plan for more information. Limitations, co-payments, and restrictions may apply. Benefits, premiums, and or member cost share may change on January 1 of each year. You must continue paying your Medicare Part B premium.
That was an actual trailer on a commercial that we run here. We didn't play the beginning of it because we don't want to lose the sponsorship. But it was 45 seconds. It's a minute commercial. It tells you what service it offers. And then for 45 seconds, they need to jam it all in as required by the FCC. But can you at all define, determine what it is this guy who is like on speed, on meth, is saying so fast and furiously? Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's see if we could try that one more time. If you could play, this is a commercial trailer, and they're getting worse and worse by the second. Mostly on radio, but it's starting to bleed over on television. A one-minute commercial and a 45-second trailer, the likes of which the guy had to be hitting the meth pipe when he did this.
With a licensed insurance agent, visit EasyMedicare.com Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. EST, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. EST. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, has neither reviewed nor approved this information with regard to the federal Medicare program. EasyMedicare.com is powered by eTelecord Insurance, Inc., a private duly licensed insurance agency appointed by Medicare Advantage, HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans and standalone prescription drug plans and insurance companies holding Medicare contracts approved by CMS. Enrollment in any plans or coverage subject to insurance company approval. This information is not a complete description of benefits. Contact the plan for more information. Limitations, co-payments, and restrictions may apply. Benefits, premiums, and or medical cost share may change on January 1 of each year. You must continue paying your Medicare Part B premium.
Something about premium at the end, something about insurance like halfway through it. I could not, for the life of me, understand what the hell the rest of the trailer is. Now, remember, this is supposed to be, so it's telling you the potential negatives if you decide to invest in this particular product. Now, I don't understand how that makes sense since nobody is called up to translate that. I have no idea. Our crackerjack staff here that can't even catch Steve from Manhattan calling a mile a minute and going, go Buchanan, go Buchanan. They have no idea what it is, and yet we run that on the air on a regular basis. And it's not just here. I've heard that on other radio stations because I am not a loyalist. I love talk radio in all of its forms because as somebody who's been employed by talk radio for over 30 years, 26 of the years here at WABC, I realize that more talk radio is good. It's more employment opportunities, and actually, we need more talk radio. It really helps stimulate the medulla and the cerebellum. It's active-minded radio. It forces you to, obviously, paint pictures with words when you're the host or the hostess, if you're doing a good job. And it's stimulating. But that kind of a trailer absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. I promise all of you I'm going to play that for the FCC and ask them what has gone on in their minds. It's like somebody who just did a line of coke, they hit the meth pipe, and now all of a sudden they're smoking two rocks in a glass pipe, beaming themselves up to Scotty because they're crackheads. I have never heard anything so fast, so furious in my life. 1-800-848-9222. By the way, if you didn't hear the news earlier today, we alerted the world. That's right, the entire world listening to the 50,000 powerful watts of sound here at WABC, heard in 38 states, parts of Canada, and down in the Bermuda Triangle, that Frank Morano is now the proud father because his beautiful wife, Rachel, delivered Carmine William Morano, 13 pounds. Boy, is that an ordeal? A woman delivers a baby who's 13 pounds at Richmond County Hospital. Earlier this evening at 9-11, a little troubled by that, 9-11, but apparently it was with the aid and the comfort of a midwife who was assigned to Rachel at Richmond County Hospital. It's an old Italian tradition. It goes back to Roman days, Julius Caesar, the Ides of March, very common then. And apparently she chose to have the baby the old-fashioned way. It wasn't a cesarean section. It wasn't anything like that. There were no complications. But the midwife had her in a bathtub, and she delivered Carmine William Morano in the bathtub because he was like 13 pounds. I mean, he's a big boy. And that nun apparently was on loan from Mount Laredo out in the south shore of Long Island, right near Tottenville. So everything is safe and secure. Frank Morano will be out on Victory Boulevard tomorrow. This is a victory for him. Nobody ever thought that he would ever get married to begin with. He was the classic Mama Luke. Definite Mama Luke. But he did get married to the beautiful Rachel. He has now his first child, probably others to come. And he'll be giving out the DeNobile Italian Stinker crooked cigars to anybody who's foolish enough to take it. Anyway, let's go to Lucy, who's calling from the Bronx. Do you know what was in that fast-talking commercial trailer, Lucy?
You know what I call that? The fine print. You know when you have a contract and you read it, and then all of a sudden they have a full page of this print that you need a magnifying glass to. They don't want you to know what's in it. So that's I call it the fine print.
Yes, Lucy. Is there something wrong with your phone there, Lucy? Because you were coming in, it was like chop, 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 chop.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. It's a house phone.
No. That's good, Lucy. I was going to blame the phone screener again for not necessarily connecting you in the best possible way. We're here to serve you, the listeners, and I appreciate you calling, Lucy.
Okay. Thanks.
So I'm gonna have to smack Phil around a little bit when we come back. Though you're gonna love this, Lucy. You know, normally on this day, like Thursday nights going into Fridays, the last night for the varsity team to do the other side of midnight, Frank Morano, before he's got to pass it off to Frankie Russo, the junior varsity guy. You can ask Frank anything, any and all questions. And yet, in listening to him, he couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. I'm going to play, coming up next, some of the Frank Morano responses. And I'm going to tell you how so many of you are sycophants, toadies, and lackeys of Frank that you didn't even give him constructive criticism or straighten him out. Other than, oh, Frank, you're such a genius. Not.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano, the founder of the Guardian Angels,
a group dedicated to fight crime
on the streets of New York and on the air right now. Curtis Sliwa on 77 WABC.
Yeah, I'm bogarting Frank Morano. He's all euphoric. He's all happy. He's father of Carmine William Morano, his beautiful wife Rachel resting because she's had all the heavy lifting to do with the midwife who delivered Carmine at 9/11. Sheesh. Could she have waited like another minute or two? But I noticed that Frankie Boy jumped the queue and decided that he was going to do his weekly Ask Frank Morano Anything, any and all questions, a day early, right? He tried to do that because he didn't want me to do it. That's really what it was, because I can do it better. So he figures he's going to do it a day earlier so that I can't steal his thunder. Well, guess what, Frank? If you happen to be listening now, I'm not only going to steal your thunder, I'm going to do it so much better because I heard how lame your answers were to the listeners' questions about anything under the sun. And by the way, they were all sycophants, toadies, and lackeys. You know, they were basically like kissing you, licking you on both your cheeks. And you know which cheeks I'm talking about. Not just the ones below the navel, but the ones attached to your head. So anyway, let's start off with the constructive criticism that I'm going to give for the other night when Frank Morano decided to jumpstart his You Can Ask Me Any Question Under the Sun a day before he should have, because he's not here tonight for obvious reasons. I am. And I should have been doing it fresh, right? It should have been like fresh. You go to the vegetable stand and you want fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. And so he figures he'd bogart me and prevent me from doing it. Well, guess what? I'm doing it anyway. Let's go to the audio tape.
Aliens, the mob, any hypothetical questions, my personal preferences on anything, relationships, baseball, the culture at large, any subject is fair game. Whatever you have questions about, I will do my best to answer them honestly.
Now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, just to show you the form of technology he uses, you're asking the question, and right away, he's probably on his cell phone, you know, Googling it. Because, you know, he can't do it straight. No, no. He's so pretentious. He's so omnipotent. He's so insecure, like all talk show hosts and hostesses, that he's always got to prove that he's better than any of you, whereas I am more than happy to admit I'm not your equal. I'm a person of no consequence at times, and I can actually learn from you. So look how we use reverse osmosis. I am going to let you ask any and all questions of yours truly. Now, remember, Frank, we really don't know how old Frank is. That is an enigma. If you go to his Facebook page, he's got a picture from when he was in Tottenville High School. You can't fool me. Tottenville High School. It's like, how old is Frank Morano? Does anybody out there actually know how old Frank Morano is? I mean, you got to be really insecure. I know that because I'm married to an insecure lady called Nancy, who won't even tell me how old she is. And you've heard the stories before. I'm walking around with Nancy and people are coming up. Oh, what is it like to be the daughter of Curtis Sliwa? Now, we know she's young. She's a millennial and hipster. But she will not tell me how old she is. And whenever I see a document laying around, you know, and I go to grab it to see exactly how old she is, whoosh, she snaps it up. None of your B.I.B. business. Oh, no, that's what I say. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And if you notice, see, nobody's asking any questions. Nobody's trying to strain my brain. Because with Frank, you know, he rolls out the red carpet to them. And they can snore him. Whereas me, I give you the flea bag treatment. Because you know I'm going to be hard on all of you. I'm not just going to let you cut and run. 1-800-848-9222. Now, here was the first question, which my wife, Nancy, took great umbrage with, and she's going to be commenting on it when I come back on Sunday night in the 12 o'clock hour when we do our animal welfare issues. A woman called out Frank Morano about his cat killers that he and Rachel raise in their home somewhere in Staten Island.
I'd like to ask you two questions, actually. One, a while back, might have been a year or so or more, I was listening to you, might have been on another station, and you were talking about your cat killing a bird, and you wanted to punish the cat somehow. What did you ever do about that with the cat?
Well, it's a good question, Anthony. And so the problem is we never determine, and people don't know what Anthony's talking about. I'm impressed with your memory, Anthony. My wife and I found a bird's head in our kitchen that was surrounded by our three cats who had clearly just killed this bird. So the problem was, Anthony, that we were never able to find out with certitude which, if any, of those three cats were responsible for the killing of that bird. We have our suspicions, but we don't know if it was just one or if it was all three. And additionally, you really can't punish a cat for killing a bird because that's what cats do. Exactly. Exactly. And I think the cats were trying to do something nice by presenting the bird's head to us as sort of a prize, like a gift.
Right.
And yeah, so they were trying to be nice, but I don't think the bird viewed it that way, certainly.
So you notice how right away Frank strokes Antony, although Antony's voice sounded more like Angela than Antony. He goes, I'm impressed with your memory, Antony. You see, it's the stroke festival. You stroke him, he strokes you. No, no, no. That's not the way I do talk radio. No, 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 no. You don't stroke me, and I am certainly not going to stroke you. But this may be a case of homicide with malice. Yeah, homicide with malice. You got three cats. So we know that Rachel and Frank have three cats. So he's telling a story that they kill a bird and then they present the head of the bird to him as if it's a horse's head in his bed. And he expects us to believe that kyakyanown. What a kyakyanown he is. And all of you are like, oh, yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. What the hell does he know about cats? If it wasn't for Rachel, who is the cat lady in the house, you really think Frank Morano would have cats in his house? Really? He wouldn't want to give them a word edgewise, not even a meow in the household, because, you know, he's got to be talking. He suffers from blabbervosia verbosa. So anyway, I'm going to bring this subject up with my wife, Nancy, 12 midnight, Sunday going into Monday, because she's the animal welfare expert. You know, I just pimp a ride along with that. She really knows all of this stuff. But it seems to me that the district attorney out in Staten Island, the ambulance chaser, Murphy? No, I got the wrong guy's name. Anyway, Staten Island District Attorney. I need a little memory jogging here. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Former congressman. His wife's a judge. See, I know all this stuff, but I forget his name. It must come with age. You know, they have a new vaccine for Alzheimer's. Dementia. According to the Boston Globe, Michael McMahon, somebody gave that to you on the QT, because I know you, Phil, you didn't know that. Don't tell me you. Oh, Mr. Mensa here. Oh, I knew it was Mike McMahon, the ambulance chaser there, whose wife is a judge, who used to be the congressman, and then lost his seat to, what was it, Mikey Suits? You know what Mikey Suits is, Phil? Maybe you can come up with that. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. See what I got to put up here. But anyway, I promise all of you that my wife, Nancy, will come up with a conclusive answer for that. Also, at the very start of Dominic Carter's show, there was a woman who called about how if you have a cat with a baby, the cat could end up killing the baby. I said, what kind of misinformation is that? And I'm surprised at Dominic, because he does have a cat, and he does have a dog in Ramapo out in Rockland County where he lives. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And now this is a topic for all you degenerate gamblers out there. I know many of you, you're having kittens because in New York State you'll be able to have the app, which means you'll be able to now lose all your money in New York instead of having to get on your Big Chief Schwinn bicycle and get on the George Washington Bridge and pedal across to New Jersey and lose all your money there. Now you'll be able to lose all your money here in New Jersey. Apparently somebody was calling up Frank about what he called freestanding gaming parlors.
Our question is, my friends and I, most of us are in our mid-60s to late-60s, and we want to know, are they ever going to have freestanding gambling parlors like OTBs? Because we don't use iPhones, we don't have computers, and we want to gamble too.
In New York, you mean?
Yeah, we don't want to drive, to Atlantic City to gamble. We don't want to use, we want to be able to go like OTB. My friend talked to a person at OTB. They said they were all prepared. They could have been up and running within 30 days. Of legalizing gambling, but they didn't give him any chance to bid in the contract.
I think it's only a matter of time, Anthony, primarily because the state wants money. And we are seeing the state go forward with all sorts of things in the gambling realm. We're seeing them push forward with sports gambling, which is relatively new in New York. We're seeing them push forward now with online gambling and online sports betting. I think freestanding betting parlors, that is something that is a reality within the next 3 years, I believe.
He didn't answer the question, and none of you callers took him to task. First off, he said there's no sports gambling in New York. Liar, liar, pants on fire. What a Pinocchio, what a Chiacchieron. They're called wire rooms, Frank. They're all over the city. They're run by the Gambinos, the Genovese, the Lucchesis, the Columbos, the Bananos. You know, they got the big satellite dish on the top of the house causing the roof to collapse. You say, what kind of a satellite dish is that? And then you realize it's a wire room. They're taking all kinds of action, offshore action, domestic action, local action. You see, Frank acts as if organized crime doesn't have its beak in the trough here in terms of all the illegal action. We're going to get back to OTB, off-track betting, because I know a lot of you listening right now, you used to show up with a sharpened number two pencil and a racing form and be smoking those stale cigarettes. Some of you, you lost so much money as degenerate gamblers, you'd be bending over and getting what's little left of the cigarettes on the ground and puffing it. And right away thinking, how am I going to bet on tomorrow's Aqueduct schedule or Belmont schedule or Saratoga schedule? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And even though they dissolved OTB here, off-track betting, all the horse parlors here, I know they got it out in Long Island. And I want to know, for guys in the know or gals. Going to the OTB parlors when they were open here in the five boroughs versus going to the OTB parlors that are open out in Long Island. What actually is the difference? Because I got to tell you, those places you'd walk in, all you'd do is smell the stale stench of old cheap cigarettes. You'd see these guys, you know, acting like they just got tips, you know, from trainers or horse owners. Yeah, you know, the backstretch, I just got a tip. And everybody would be stupid enough to bet on that horse. And always they'd be saying, you got a number two sharpening pencil? You got a number two sharpening pencil? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. Your turn to be heard here on WABC, Steve.
Curtis, thanks for taking my call. Oh, I forgot. You don't want to hear that. Okay, fine. I have some questions, right, and I'll make my point. What percentage of the eligible voters in New York City showed up to vote in this last election? Do you know?
20%. That's it.
Oh, okay. There we go. What percent voted for Adams as opposed to you?
There was a total of 66% to me at about 29%.
Okay. Curtis, do you realize, all right, so you've got 80% of your population there disengaged. If I don't care Republican, Martian, but you have your Bill de Blasio there, and Adams is going to be a third term, is so bad. A solid candidate who got grassroots support, I don't care Republican or not, and supported by the state national party, that was low-hanging fruit there, my friend. All right, so my suggestion, here, I'll let you comment, and then I'll make two suggestions. What do you think about what I just said? All right.
Hold on. You're going to make your comment and then give me two suggestions. Why don't you give me the two suggestions first to see if it's even worthy of a comment?
Okay. Years ago, your former colleague, Lynn Samuels, there, all right, who I didn't agree with, but she gave you one good bit of advice. She said, don't run for office, although she suspected that that's what you wanted to do. Don't run for office again. If they're offering you a long-term contract there, take it. Take it.
Now, very good. Or as Frank Morano snored his listener, I'm impressed with your memory there, Steve.
Yeah. Okay. You want the second suggestion?
You earned it. You earned it.
The Republican Party needs to understand they can win like New York City with a better candidate, more support. They could have gotten Chitterelli over, or that's another story here in New Jersey. All right, but the point is this. I'm tired of let's just take New York City. Republicans can't win. You with a good, solid candidate that was supported from the top down, and then a candidate who rallied the base, which you didn't. You didn't come up with a good message. You never did. All right. You bloviate a lot. So, Curtis, you go on a lot about all, you know, your tough guy accomplishments from the past. That wasn't going to win votes. How about you're going to undo all the de Blasio executive orders. All right. You're going to reduce taxes. Get the city running. You're going to support the cops big time and stop all this nonsense going on in the streets. You would have won in a heartbeat. Go ahead. I'll listen.
So, Steve, you as a quasi-campaign manager, because you've never done this before, have you, Steve?
Say that again?
Yeah, a quasi-campaign manager, meaning you've never done this before, right?
Correct. That is correct.
I take that constructive criticism. There's no doubt about it. I could have utilized some of what you were suggesting, Steve. The problem is that my worst enemies in running for the mayoralty in New York City were not the Democrats. It was my fellow Republicans by challenging my signatures, which would qualify me to run, by giving me a hard time all through the primary process. I had less problems from Democrats, who were the majority of the registered voters, than I did with the few remaining Republicans who haven't died in New York City or moved to Florida.
Okay, I have a response if you want. You want
very
to hear
good,
my
very good. Hey, this is free. You know, normally you'd have to pay for this kind of of advice. But go for it, Steve. It's on your dime.
Okay. You did the same thing Mr. Chitterelli did here in New Jersey. You distanced yourself from the titular unofficial head of the party, Donald Trump. Whether you liked it or not, his message, Chitterelli at least said, the reason why he got close, he ran essentially on the Trump message: lower taxes, deregulation, support for the police. It was a simple message. He could have been a little more effective in attacking his opponent here, who was low-hanging fruit as well. But there you go. Okay, right there.
See, you have a potential future as a political consultant, of which I can tell you, Steve, there are many out there, most of whom who know nothing about nothing. So you might as well give it a shot. No, seriously. I've met with all kinds of political consultants. They know nothing about nothing, and they want to take your campaign finance money. But, Steve, you not only commented on the mayoral run across the Hudson from where you live in New Jersey, but you also commented on the Citarelli run in which he almost took the state house as governor.
Yeah. By the way, I think he did. I think there was some shit. It was deja vu all over again, Curtis, right? Did you remember they stopped counting the votes? Citarelli was ahead and they stopped counting the votes, right? Let's not go back. I know. But that's another thing. Okay, you were never close, so that was not a factor here. All I'm saying is this. Look, man, I'll take what you said as a compliment. All right, I've never thought about being a campaign manager, but you got to keep it simple, and you can't buck the part. The Republican Party, admittedly, is in some disarray. But you know what? The Democratic Party is in more disarray. So you should have coalesced around the Trump message. Had the guy, believe me, man, you couldn't. So what percentage of the vote? I'm still of 20% of two-thirds is what you got. That's all.
Is it 20% of the people who bothered to come out to vote? There was a little more than a million votes, 5 million registered votes. Only 20% of the people even bothered to come out to vote. So, Steve, I want you to give your number here to Phil, because who knows if I ever decide to make a run again. Maybe Steve could be available as a campaign manager. He just gave me all that free advice. Whether you believe any of it or you don't believe anything, it didn't cost me a penny, right? I just had to be able to sit here and take it, which a lot of talk show hosts and hostesses can't do, if you notice. The moment things get a little critical, it's sort of like they talk over you. I'm not going to mention names here at WABC, but they never let you, like, get off your mark. And then all of a sudden you think you have to morph your comments to be more complimentary towards the person than negative towards the person. With me, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've already been married. How many times? I've been through the mill, pal. I know what it's like to be criticized on a regular basis. So don't worry about it. I'm open for constructive criticism. I'm not going to come and punch your schnoz right down your throat. I'm not going to threaten to chase you around until the ends of time and get vengeance on you. Feel free. Say what's on your mind. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
WABC.
If you have a need for a personal injury lawyer, you need Fogle Law. Call 800-734-9338 at Fogle Law. They don't cave at the first sign of trouble, getting you the most for your case. And they never give up. Every firm has multi-million dollar verdicts. Make sure your case is one of them. You need Fogle Law. Call 800-734-9338. That's 800-734-9338.
New York City's only outlet shopping destination is Empire Outlets. With 4 acres of outdoor outlet shopping, it steps from the Staten Island Ferry and the New York City Ferry. It's between Richmond County Ballpark and St. George Station, with the same stores you'll find at the shopping centers for way less. Go to EmpireOutlets.nyc.
Tonight at 10 p.m., feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story, talking to the biggest names, covering the biggest stories. She's Rita Cosby.
You have to fight, and you have to believe in what you have and believe in your country.
Tonight, listen to The Rita Cosby Show, weeknights at 10 on 77 WABC.
Yeah, out on the dance floor, you gotta move and groove, turn, churn, and wheel. And who knows, maybe you'll steal a heart in the wee hours of the morning. Yes, that was Curtis Lewa on the dance floor. This is a good musical rejoin, unlike some of the stuff I hear from Frank Morano who, as you know, is the member of the varsity team here at WABC and his protege, Frankie Russo. I got some words for him later on. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. Remember, I'm different than the others because I can take a lot of constructive criticism. When you've been married as many times as I have, you got it morning, noon, and night. 1-800-848-WABC. But let me go back to that caller who was talking to Frank about whether there should be freestanding gaming parlors like OTB. And I know a little bit about OTB because my uncles were addicted to off-track betting here in the five boroughs, especially my Uncle Ralphie, in Brooklyn and eventually in Astoria, Queens. I think OTB came about in New York City in like 1970. All of a sudden, there were gambling parlors everywhere. I think it's Schenectady in 72, and then it started to spread, and then in Long Island. And there used to be Howie the Horse Samuels. He wanted to be governor, Howie the Horse Samuels. See, he's ahead of OTB. And then it was a system that could never make money. Never make money in the city. Absolutely ridiculous. Where as a bookie, you were losing money. Bookies would laugh at OTB because they would say, hey, look, I know how to make money. Whether I'm loaning, whether it's a VIG, whether it's percentages, whether it's doing basically a form of over-under when you're using the racing form. But the bookies would never lose. OTB would always lose its shirt. I'll never forget David Dinkins had appointed Hazel Dukes as head of OTB. When Rudy Giuliani was elected, he had the great quarterback originally from Brooklyn College. Yeah, Brooklyn College had a football team back then, Allie Sherman, who went on to become the coach of the New York Giants. He had Allie Sherman running OTB. And it was a losing proposition. And I'll tell you why, and just observing all the degenerate gamblers. OTB was the worst deal in racing. Every racetrack will skim a percentage off the top of every bet as the cost of doing business. I've seen that in tracks all throughout New York State. It's usually anywhere from 15 to 25%, depending on the type of wager. That never occurred with off-track betting. Off-track betting. They ended up funneling like $1 billion a year to these grungy, grime-infested premises with stale smoke from old cigarettes all over the place. And even though they took in like $1 billion a year, they couldn't keep the OTB profitable. Not even the billionaire Michael Bloomberg. He was really the last guy, the last mayor to have a stab at it. It was just horrible. Horrible. It was the house of patronage. Every ne'er-do-well, every ineffective, inefficient political appointee would get tossed over to OTB. They could have just gotten out of prison. It wouldn't have mattered for white-collar crime, blue-collar crime, no-collar crime. They would find the house at OTB. It just didn't work out. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Charlie calling from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Charlie.
How you doing, Curtis?
Hold on a second, Charlie. Hold on a second. You see, talk show hosts and hostesses here at WABC have become like slackers. They haven't enforced the rules and regulations of Talk Radio 101. Number one, you never ask me how I'm doing because I want to tell you I've had better days. You know that already. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. Don't say to me, hey, thank you for taking my call. What do you think I've been knocking myself out doing, right? Giving the numbers out, soliciting you for calls. And you call, and then the first thing you do is say, thank you for taking my call. What do you think? I know who you are. I have no idea who you are. That I specifically reached out and took your call as opposed to others? No, I'm grateful for calls. I should be thanking you. And then the classic. First time caller, a long time listener. You're lying. You're a Pinocchio. You're a kyakyada. You get it, Charlie? You get it? You got the rules now?
Yes, Curtis. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Hey, you see, you're complicit. You're following through. This is good.
I want to talk about OTB.
OTB? Good. Good. Off-track betting.
Yes. I'm from Canarsie. I'm from Mill Basin, Bergen Beach.
All the five families had parlors. They would give you coffee, donuts. OTB ran it to the ground, Curtis. You should have let the five families run OTB. They would have generated money for the city. But I want to talk about something else, Curtis.
Let me ask you a question. Before you talk about something else, did you attend the OTB parlors? Because you sound...
Yes. Everyone in King's Plaza. We had one across the street from King's Plaza. We had one on East 16th on MEU. I went to all the OTBs. My father grew up in OTB. The cigars, I used to puke. But my father took me there. All track betting, Aqueduct, Belmont. Yes, OTB was ran... Bad.
Now, let me ask you a question. Was it genetic to you, Charlie, because your father was...
Yes, my father was a gambler, drinker, all the bars in Brooklyn. Curtis, I know all the gangsters. I know the gangsters that hurt you, Curtis. I was a sports guy, Madison High School, Nazareth High School. I got kicked out of both of them. But listen to me, Curtis. You're going to be the next mayor. We need guys like you, Curtis. You talk about the cops that huddle up at the subway stations. They should be walking up and down the train.
You're very astute, but before we talk about me running for mayor, understand Eric Adams is our mayor-elect. So far, he's doing all the right things, saying all the right things. Attending today the release of the police officer, Vasquez, who was shot in the line of duty against that enemy of society on 187th up in the Bronx the other night. 8 o'clock at night, her and her partner got a 911 call. Guy with a gun. They approached the guy on the stoop. He had his hands in his pockets. They said, take your hands out of your pocket. He did with a Ruger. He started firing at them. Both of them hit both of them. They hit him. Luckily, the two officers survived. Unluckily, he survived. You see, too bad he's not room temperature, because now we're going to have to pay for three hots and a cot. Free optical, free medical, free pancakes in the morning, free legal services so they can figure out a nuance of the law to spring this guy, a guy who already had 9 major raps on his record, so he can go out and do it again. So I give props to Eric Adams. He's making all the right moves. He's following up on what he said during both the Democratic primary and the general campaign against me. Let's see. The first time, though, there's a bad shooting by cops or a bad physical intervention or a wrongful death, if he's going to be just as supportive. It'll be interesting, but so far, so good. So far, so good. Let's go, if we can, to Pete, who's calling from Staten Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Pete.
All right, Curtis, I sobered up a little bit. You know, you were talking about OTB. We got right across from the Bayonne Bridge. You could actually walk over there. We got Winners. And then for the outer bridge, we got Favorites. And they got a good deal there because the toll is pretty high. So if you're a good player, they reimburse you for your toll, you know. And they got a room that you guarantee $2,000 in wagering, and they feed you, you know. But this is it. It's a good pastime. You got a lot of screens. I go there with my wife. We have lunch. We play a couple of ponies, and we have a real good time like that. But that's it. You don't have to go.
Now, think of that. Think of that, Pete. We were ahead of the cycle when we established off-track betting in 1970. The parlors were lame. They were dirty. They were grungy. They were smelly. On the Upper East Side, they had one that was a restaurant, and the food was like putrid. So
I remember that.
Right. You remember that, right? So why is it we were at the head of the curve? We couldn't make money with off-track betting. Rudy couldn't. Bloomberg couldn't. Dinkins certainly couldn't. He put Hazel Dukes in charge of OTB.
Oh, that was a joke.
That was the stupidest thing ever. But here it is, gambling. Gamblers, bookies don't lose money. They always figure out a way to get the edge. And yet, with off-track betting in the city of New York, we never had the edge because it became a house of patronage.
We had a bookmaker in Staten Island that he would, before he'd get busted, he would wear, like, the dirtiest clothes that he had, like a blazer that was filthy. He would be unshaved and everything. He knew when the pinch was coming, you know? And the thing that was funny about with him, if the money and the receipts didn't match, because he would give markers to people, they couldn't arrest him. They couldn't hold him on the charge. So he would make sure that he'd give the guys markers. Now, he's dead now. That's the only reason why I'm talking about it. He was a pretty good guy. I actually had my wedding at the Shalimar, and he went and spoke for me, and he got made sure that everything I got was what we paid for. So I was grateful.
Whoa, you got married hooked up at the Shalimar, huh?
Oh, yeah. Nino Moore.
Hey, top shelf five-star there, Pete.
Oh, it was definitely top stuff. It was a Jewish-Italian wedding, 250 people like that.
Now, let me ask you this, Pete. Yeah. Why is it that Jews and Italians always get along so well? There's intermarriage. They never.
Well, one of them has more moxie, you know, but I can't tell you which one.
Family-oriented.
My wife's yelling out, family-oriented. Matter of fact, the funny thing at our wedding was we had matzo ball soup and the wedding soup, you know. But ended up all the Italians wanted the matzo ball soup, and all the Jews wanted the Italian meatball.
Wedding soup,
like,
that's right.
Wedding soup, yeah. And the poor, at the end of the night, the guys, the way the guys and the chefs and stuff, they were mixing it. There was matzo ball with the thing, and everybody loved it. They said, "Oh, this is great. This is delicious." No, it was a real great time. The
now,
only
Pete,
thing is,
now, Pete, was what? There a booster bag there? Did the bride carry around the booster bag? Were both sides very generous? And
yes. It was like big time. It was great. We had a good time. Went to Canada for our honeymoon. We're married 40 years. You know my wife. And we used to go over to stickball games and stuff. And then over at Andrew's, the remote with you and Kubi. That's what I spoke to you yesterday about. And then the speedy car service that I got for you out of the garage being repaired because there was no cabs around that day. You know, I think it was for a holiday or something. So,
we go way back
to stickball and everything up in the Bronx with the guys there.
The Bronx Empress.
Yeah, right.
Oh, they were the best. They were the best. They always used to give me a hard time. I was the commissioner of stickball for 20 years.
And I remember.
When they would lose, because these games, they'd start betting money. And, you know, that's the problem. They start betting money. And I would naturally also have to umpire the games. And whenever the Empress would lose, they'd want to break out in fights. It didn't matter. They're fighting Queens. They're fighting Brooklyn. And I'm right in the middle of it.
And the last time I saw you was at the tribute at Snug Harbor to Rudolph Giuliani and others. And the funny part, when I came in, they mixed up. They put me at your table with Rudolph Giuliani and Andrew. We had a nice conversation. And then we had to move over because there was a mistake. I actually took your seat. We got out of it. I saw you at the function.
Yeah, but you notice, Pete, when it came my turn to talk after Rudy, notice how there was thunder and lightning the moment I started talking in Snug Harbor?
I thought it was going to come through the skylight. I was scared. I said, my God, I started saying prayers. But your speech was great. It was wonderful.
Well, it was a tribute to my father, Chester, a merchant seaman for 55 years, who when we would pick him up, this is before they built the Verrazano Bridge, my mother would put us in, my two sisters and myself, in the back of the old Betsy that was the station wagon with the wood paneling, the white wall tires. We'd take the ferry across. We'd see the ship in the Arthur Kill, the Kill Van Cullors, who was going to the tank farms. And we'd pick my father up, take him home a few days so they unload and then reload, and then he'd be back out to sea. So at times we'd stop at Snug Harbor, which is where all the seamen would be housed. That was their retirement home. And my mother, Francesca, would tell my father, Chester, hey, you give me a hard time when you're home here. You could stay with your pals here at Snug Harbor. And they all had outlets there to put radios in. They all were avid radio listeners. They would plug in their radios, ship-to-shore radios. They listened to the BBC overseas. They listened to that time WMCA, which was the big talker. They were avid talk radio and news radio listeners, all of them, all of them. Never forget that, Pete. That just brings back the memories. That's right. My father would be listening to talk radio out at sea, ship-to-shore radio. And the most powerful signal out at sea, especially in the Atlantic, was the BBC. BBC 1, BBC 2, BBC 3, BBC 4. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
WABC.
Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep. I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby. And we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
When you support City Harvest, you do more than just provide hundreds of millions of pounds of food to millions of hungry New Yorkers. You feed hope for a kid up in Parkchester. You feed confidence for a first-in-her-family Queens College freshman. You feed community for folks in Canarsie Park. You feed compassion for retired Staten Island nurses who continue to serve. You feed strength for office workers in Manhattan. When you support City Harvest, you feed good. Support us at cityharvest.org.
77 WABC, All-American.
Oh, Jenny from the block. Yes, legitimately from the Bronx, I might add. Jennifer Lopez went to Preston High School, very prestigious private Catholic high school, right there in the neck, Throg's neck, unlike AOC, all out crazy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, leader of the Democratic Socialists of America, and the Justice Warriors, who spent maybe a nanosecond in all of the Bronx. Was still looking for her in Parkchester. She was up there in Westchester in the rarefied air with the average income in her town. It was like $185,000. AOC, no street cred in the Bronx. Jenny on the block, lots of street cred. But anyway, let's go right to the phones as I am substituting for Frank Morano. Remember, he is the proud father of a brand new son, Carmine William Morano, 13 pounds. This kid's a real porker, 13 pounds. And his poor wife, Rachel, delivered this baby in a bathtub at Richmond County Hospital with the aid of a midwife, a nun who was sent over from Mount Laredo in Tottenville, Staten Island. Everything good. Frank Morano is, thrusting out his chest like he's a macho, maniacal man. You'll see him on Victory Boulevard today, Highland Boulevard, Forest Avenue, giving out the traditional cigars, the Stogies, except he's giving out the Italian stinkers, the Nobler cigars, in Staten, Italy. Anyway, the only problem with Carmine's birth, it was right at 9:11 p.m. this previous night, 9/11. And I gave you the astrological chart for young Carmine. He's a Sagittarius, which means he's outspoken, extroverted, loyal, smart, and assertive. Sort of a chip off the old block of his dad, Frank. But the negative side is just like with Frank Morano. They can be blunt, careless, and judgmental, which gets them into double trouble. So maybe the son will avoid some of the problems that the dad has had over the years because he is so frank and he is so blunt that it has been detrimental to him at times. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Rick in New Jersey. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Ricky?
Yeah, good morning, Curtis. Am I allowed to say I'm glad to hear you back?
Yeah, I'll give you a pass on that. I'll let you break the rules here.
That'll ruin being nice. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
I need advice that I think only you can give me, Curtis. The reason I'm up at this time of night or morning is I'm out to feed the feral cats outside. I started a community in my backyard.
Hmm.
And I'm out here. I got 15 outside. I got 10 inside. And I'm doing this at this time of night because I'm afraid of getting caught by the city. Is there any way that I can, like, I heard that some way I can become legally a caretaker of communities or something similar to that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It differs from township to village, from county to county. But no, we can help you. My wife, Nancy, as you know, she is an animal welfare expert.
Oh, yeah. No, I love you guys. I've been waiting for you to come back so I can ask you this because, like I said, I'm sneaking around like a spy versus spy outside so nobody can see me and I come back in before the light, you know?
Yeah, and you see, what's so wrong about this is that feral cats are Mother Nature's way of keeping down the rat, the rodent, and the mice population.
Absolutely.
But there are some out there who object to them because they will, as was pointed out to one of the callers to Frank, that Frank had told the story of how with the three cats that they have in their home, they're not feral cats, they're domestic cats, that they had caught a bird and they brought the bird and presented it to Rachel. You know, like when they catch a mouse or a rat at times.
I know, the presents.
The cat will present it to whoever it is that they share the space with. And there are some out there, because they're bird lovers, they hate the cats. They hate the feral cats.
Is that what it is? Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. they hate the feral cats. And you got to sort of make peace with them. But we will try to help you the best that we can. Because our advice to New York City, the incoming mayor, Eric Adams, is we've got a huge rat problem. The rats have doubled during the lockdown and the pandemic because there's so much garbage in the streets. And they keep pumping pesticides into the waterways.
Oh, yeah, no. It's a natural thing. Do exactly what you're saying, Curtis. You know?
Yeah, and then they put dry ice in the holes where the rats, have their lairs.
That doesn't work.
Like Eric Adams tried when he was Brooklyn Borough President, he tried drowning the rats. That doesn't work.
No, I'm in Jersey. Does that matter?
No.
Only New York you know about.
No. My wife deals with cat colonies of feral cats all throughout the tri-state area, and it is so important that these cats be maintained because they're outdoor cats. They will never come indoors. As long as there's a caretaker who feeds them and puts out water, those cats will never leave. They'll stay in that area.
Yeah, and my shelters, I built them shelters, and they have heating pads in the shelters and heated water bowls. And so they're healthy and happy outside. I'm just afraid of them being taken away from me because of the city.
This has happened. Your fear is a legitimate fear. Have any of your neighbors, as far as you know, complained, Frank?
No, because they don't see me. I'm done by 4:30. You know, I leave it about 10 minutes. I'll go downstairs and I'll spend an hour outside. About before 5, I'm back inside.
Do the cats come out during the day or are they just nocturnal?
Oh, no, they're all right. Yeah, thank God they stay in my yard because it's safe, you know, from the street and all that. But they hang around, but they're not a problem.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what,
they're
Rick.
They're not going through, you know, the neighborhood looking for food.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Rick. We're going to keep you on the line. We'll actually give Phil something to do as our phone screener so he can get your information. And then I'll get it over to Nancy. In fact, I have Nancy on 12 midnight, Sunday going into Monday. We do an animal welfare segment because she's an expert on that. And hopefully we'll have an answer for you at that point, because there are a lot of people in that situation through the tri-state area and beyond. They manage cat colonies. Again, these are feral cats. And these feral cats are outstanding. It's sort of like, you know what the old bodega cat is. The New York City Department of Health tried to make a determination that you couldn't have a cat on your premises. You couldn't have your cat in the place of business because it was unsanitary. And you say to yourself, what? And putting pesticides on the floor of, let's say, a supermarket or a grocery store or a restaurant is better? Makes no sense whatsoever. You should be able to have at least one cat. That's a domestic cat. That's not a feral cat because they're indoors. But for the outdoors, where the rats are doing the horror and dancing the tarantella in the middle of the day, because there's so much garbage around, they've had cutbacks in the sanitation schedule of pickups, the pandemic and the lockdown made it worse. Now they have all these huts out for outdoor dining. They're the size of a Quonset hut. You can land a 747 in there, and with that, they attract rats. Yeah, there have been some people, they've been sitting, dining out in an outdoor facility, right? And all of a sudden, the rats start running through. And nobody seems to see what the problem is with that. Anyway, let's go back to the very segment that we were doing, because Frank Morano had bogarted me by doing what he classically does on Thursday night going into Friday morning. It's Ask Frank Morano Anything Under the Sun, right? So he figured, hey, Curtis is going to be here substituting for me. He had no idea that his baby was coming into the world. That's the good news from yesterday to today. But there was another question that had to do with some of the great talk, TV, and radio hosts of all time.
Programs in the past, you've talked about other, you know, talk show hosts. You have some favorites. I haven't heard you speak about Alan Burke.
Alan Burke, you know, I don't know that I've heard Alan Burke.
Oh, okay. He's probably, you know, long before your time. I used to watch him on television when I was like 11, 12, 13 years old.
Oh, so he was a TV guy, not right. A radio. Oh, yeah, he was on Channel 5, right?
Yes, Channel 5, right,
yeah.
Late at night.
I never watched him.
Oh, okay. I felt he was quite an interesting type of guy and a character as well. You know, like, they all have a personality that, you know,
yeah,
helps with
you know, I just looked him up, and the only time I would have seen him would have been on the Morton Downey Jr. show, and I know he was on there feuding with the great Bob Grant a few times, but I don't have, I'd be lying if I said I had any recollection of him. I don't remember watching him on TV, Frank.
Those are memories when Channel 9 was a superstation in Secaucus, a national station. That not only had on the Morton Downey Jr. show every night seen across the nation, but they also had on the comedian Jackie Mason. He had his own national show out of there. Howard Stern had his own show. Little Channel 9 in Secaucus, before it was bought by Rupert Murdoch and his company, News America Marketing, was a national station with programming there that was seen across the nation. But Frank Morano hadn't even been birthed. He has no idea who Alan Burke is. That's my generation. I'm 67. Alan Burke was one of the absolute best. You tune on Sunday night on Channel 5, the old Metro Media. Remember, they'd ask the question, do you know where your children are at 10 p.m.? But Alan Burke would hold court. I think it was like from 66 to 70. And the thing about Alan Burke is he was a real curmudgeon. But he'd have members in the audience who would attack guests. So if you were a guest for the Alan Burke show, you not only got it from the host, Alan Burke, but you got it from members of the audience. It was great. And then I think he went down to Florida like so many other New Yorkers at that time because they were watching Jackie Gleason and Art Carney and the call at the end of the show, the June Taylor dances, come on down to Miami Beach. And they did. Thousands of them, tens of thousands. And I think Alan Burke ended up as a talk radio show host in Florida before he passed away. Then the other great TV talk show host on Channel 5 at night, nationally syndicated also, was David Susskind. And I remember watching David Susskind in the 60s and 70s because it was really the first nationally TV syndicated show to have debates about the Vietnam War from an anti-Vietnam War perspective. And he'd have all kinds of guests on there. It was really good stuff. And then the classic was Joe Pyne. Now, some of you probably don't remember Joe Pyne, but he really combined both talk radio and talk TV. And he was gregarious and in your face. And you know where Joe Pyne actually began what began really the first talk radio program where callers called in? Do you know what city he developed the talk radio format in? We've talked about it a great deal of late. Kenosha, Wisconsin. Population 150,000 people. On the way up from Chicago, it's Kenosha, Racine, and then Milwaukee. And so he was operating out of a talk radio station. Joe Pyne was in Kenosha and developed the concept of not just being a braggart, a lot of braggadocia, you know, using his bully pulpit, but taking callers. I think it was called On Your Nickel, because back then it was a nickel to make a phone call. So, you know, I'll use the term, it's a throwback, because there's no way it's a dime to make a call. I'll say, oh, it's on your dime. It was a nickel back then. So the name of the program was On Your Nickel. And it became so successful, Joe Pyne did, and he was a smoker. He smoked like four packs, Chesterfield, no filters whatsoever, chest breakers. But he came out of Chester, Pennsylvania. And you know where Chester is. It's on one side of Philly with 500 murders, right? 500 murders, all-time record this year. Chester, that it's crime-infested. Next to Camden, it's crime-infested. That area might actually be the most crime-infested other than the city of Chicago itself. But he came out of Chester, Pennsylvania, and then eventually was recruited to do a national talk TV program from Los Angeles, where he also hosted his talk radio program at KABC, which was for a long time our sister station out in Los Angeles in 1960. And he was the bomb, man. He would, like, mix it up with the guests. He'd mix it up with the audience. He's smoking those Chesterfield chest breakers, because that's when you could smoke on TV. And the guy died at 45 from lung cancer. 45! He had a nationally syndicated talk radio program. This is before they had Fox News Channel and, you know, that kind. You had to be on an independent TV station for a national TV talk show program and an independent talk radio station, which he had. And I'll never forget an interview I saw him do with Frank Zappa. You know, with like 4,000 motels. Remember the wing ding Frank Zappa? So he's getting it on, arguing with Frank Zappa because he hated hippies. He thought they were scum in the 60s. And he goes, you know what, Frank? Your long hair makes you look like a woman. And then Frank Zappa was always quick, really quick, said, and that wooden leg you have makes you look like a table. He had a wooden leg. I forget the reason he had a wooden leg. But Joe Pyne gave him props and said, hey, very good, Frank. Very good. Those were the golden days of the early development of talk TV, which was also synergistic to talk radio. So, look, we've had some of the greatest talk radio show hosts who paved the way for all of us. Like Bob Grant, who was the king of talk radio in the afternoons here at WABC, would get monster ratings. Then there was Barry Gray, mid-mornings on the old WOR and WMCA. This is a guy who talked about the Second Amendment, came from Los Angeles. In the golden age of radio, he would do his shows from nightclubs, like the Cotton Club, like the other clubs, all throughout New York City. And people would queue up to want to be on the radio. That's when there was no TV at the time. And then, of course, there was Barry Farber with his Southern drawl from North Carolina talking about two scorpions in a brandy glass going at it. Oh, there was such great talk radio at that time, and they really paved the way. And we never really give them their due, because in this 100th anniversary of WABC, where John Catsimatidis and his wife, Margot, owners and operators of this station, are pulling out all the stops to recognize all the great talent that has performed here over the years. First, when they were spinning Stacks of Wax, top 40, number one in the nation, to when they flipped the script and then went into the talk radio mode. Took them a while to get their mojo, but when they brought in Bob Grant, the king of talk radio, who, by the way, had been the news guy for Joe Pyne. And when Joe Pyne died at 45, they turned to Bob Grant, who was trained to be a newscaster at the University of Illinois in Springfield. They said, Bob, unless you're the talk show host now, we're all out of a job. He goes, I was trained to be a newscaster. I'm not supposed to have an opinion. So the bosses at the network said, well, you better develop opinion real quick or you're going to be on the unemployment line with the rest of us. And that's how Bob Grant's career started, out near KABC in Los Angeles, taking over for Joe Pyne, who at the age of 45 had died from lung cancer, and the guy who is credited for starting the first talk radio program in which you, the callers, could be heard, is called On Your Nickel in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So, like, this is a little bit of Paul Harvey, like, now you know the rest of the story, how all of this developed. So, you see, you weren't going to hear that from Frank Morano, because he wasn't around at that time. He didn't really know who Alan Burke was, but I sure knew who Alan Burke was, and Joe Pyne, and definitely David Susskind. I was a guest on the David Susskind show, and let me tell you something. I called him Dave, and he said to me, real sarcastically, the name is David. Well, we got so much more to go into. Again, the entry into the world of Carmine William Morano, son of Rachel and Frank Morano, was our lead story. But there's so much more for us to talk about. Ah, we have a few glitches that are taking place now. In fact, let's go to the next Q&A that Frank Morano had solicited, in which he has a segment that he bogarted me on because he didn't want me doing it. Any and all questions, and he couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. Ah, I see we are. The system is completely down. This has happened before. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you. It is a dischronificator, which is on the roof of WABC. When this dischronificator, which is a large sort of divining rod, any of you who had ever read Popular Mechanics would know that the divining rod always has to be aimed to the west, away from the east towards Mecca and Medina. That was considered sacrilegious. So the divining rod of the dischronificator would always be aimed to the west. And apparently we have lost the synchronization here at WABC, the 50,000 powerful watts of sound that can be heard in 38 states, parts of Canada, and down in the Bermuda Triangle. And I know that because I used to do overnight talk radio. It has always been theater of the mind, ladies and gentlemen. It has always been the best part of the radio broadcast day or night because it's the kind of talk radio you generally won't hear during the day parts or on the weekends. It's old-style radio, theater of the mind, and nobody does it better any longer than, than WABC here. We have, as part of our senior squad, calling for the purposes of description, the varsity. That's Frank Morano, who hosts The Other Side of Midnight. And then working on his role as a member of our JB, Frankie Russo, who will be hosting tomorrow night, actually in the morning from 1 to 5, and then the following day from 1 to 5. Those are his 2 days. Frank Morano has the other 5. And as Frank Morano is taking maternity leave, what the hell is he taking maternity leave? I never heard of anything like this before, but he is. I'll be substituting the rest of the way. Our number is 1-800-848-9222.
WABC.
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first.
WABC.
WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays.
From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
Good morning, I'm Molly Fichter. Former President Trump delivered a Thanksgiving holiday message pointing at him running for president in 2024. In a statement, Trump says, quote, "A very interesting time in our country, but do not worry, we will be great again and we will all do it together," end quote. President Biden said recently he wants a second term in the White House as well. Biden beat Trump more than 7 million votes. However, the election was much closer in the Electoral College. An off-duty Newark police officer struck and killed a nurse with his car, then drove the body to his mother's house for advice on what to do before returning to the scene with the body. The Essex County Prosecutor's Office says 25-year-old Luis Santiago of Bloomfield was arrested and charged November 1st incident, including desecrating human remains, after he hit and killed 29-year-old Damian Dumka of Garfield on the Garden State Parkway near exit 151. Santiago's mother, Annette, and passenger 25-year-old Albert Guzman were charged with conspiracy to desecrate human remains. The federal government has ordered a tougher crackdown on unruly airline passengers, directing states to prioritize prosecuting rowdy flyers as millions of Americans traveled this Thanksgiving week. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland issued the directive in a memo on Wednesday, saying disorderly travelers are interfering with critical jobs of crews on airlines and that they are there to help ensure the safety of air travel. And the chief of the NYPD, Rodney Harrison, announced he's retiring at the end of the year. Up next is more of The Other Side of Midnight with Curtis Sliwa in for the new father, Frank Morano. This was 77 Seconds of News on 77 WABC. And remember, the news never stops at WABCRadio.com.
77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano. New York's talk station with the King of New York. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
That's right. Not today, because Frank Morano is the proud father of a 13-pound boy. How enormous that child was that Rachel, his wife, delivered into the world at 9-11. Couldn't she have waited like a minute more or two at Richmond County Hospital, aided by a midwife who apparently may have helped her deliver the baby in a bathtub? I mean, look, I don't have all the details. We spoke to Frank a little earlier. He was like an eager beaver. He was all excited. He was all euphoric. Obviously, this is his first child. And Rachel is doing well. And so he'll be off for the next few weeks taking paternity leave. I don't know how this works. In my day, you had kids. The mother really didn't want the father around at all. She felt it was more of a nuisance because she would have members of her own family, normally sisters who were at the ready, her own mother, in-laws, who would be able to come over and comfort her and help her through the ordeal of childbirth and also taking care of the baby when it first was going through its growing process. You almost never heard about the father being around. In fact, the role of the father was, whatever you were doing to earn income, go back out there, earn the income, and just stay out of the way. Now, all of a sudden, it's paternity leave. We saw that with Buttigieg. What was he taking, like months of paternity leave while the economy was faltering because of the supply, lack of supply? The ships being stowed out at sea off the coast of Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, and Portland, and couldn't bring their product to port. And now, as a result, we've got inflation. We got all other problems. And I attribute it all to paternity leave. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Johnny, who's been patiently waiting on the line in Jersey City. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Johnny.
Thank you, Curtis. I'm about your age. I got about 3 years on you, but I go back to the WAMCA era. And you're right about one or two things, and I want to send you something because I have it from the 70s. Ken Fairchild, Malcolm McCourt, Leon Lewis, Grant, the lady in the afternoon, I forget her name, but it was on BAI. You had the people at night, Steve Powers, John Sterling, Barry Farber, Barry Gray, and Long John Neville and his wife. I have a tape. I have a cassette tape that was, it's an hour and a half. You'd have to somehow convert it if you wanted to use it on the air. It's Barry Gray with everybody at the table one night after the Nixon impeachment. John Sterling was there, Gray, Fairchild, Dan Meenan. There was a few others there. It's clear. It's still, I can't believe the tape hasn't dissolved. But if you would be interested in it, I'd send it to you. If you could use
it. Well, I want you, before we hang up, I'm going to put you on hold. Just stay where you are right now. Phil, we'll make use of our phone screener here. He'll get your information because that is classic radio. You know, ironically, WAMCA in the 60s was the big talker. And you could hear that signal up and down the Jersey Shore. Its signal was powerful along the Atlantic Shore, not as powerful as 770 AM WABC that was spinning stacks of wax. But you mentioned all the greats. John Sterling was a sports talk show host at that time. And I remember kids would call up, like my age, and they'd have these fantasy trades. You know, what do you think, John, if the Yankees were to trade Joe Pepitone to the San Francisco Giants for Willie McCovey? And Sterling would, like, start screaming at the kids. How stupid is that? Why would the Giants end up trading Willie McCovey for Joe Pepitone? He was like the Bob Grant of sports talk radio. And now you listen to him on the Yankees, you know, as a Yankee broadcaster. And he's so nice, he could give you a diabetic insulin shock. Classic. Old-time radio host. We still have Johnny there, or is Phil now? Phil, you talking to Johnny here or what? He's got him online. Put Johnny back on the line once you finish that, because he has some great stories there. And as I said, in the glory days of radio, Johnny, people don't realize that Barry Gray would actually host shows at the Copacabana, the Cotton Club, other clubs, where guests would beg to be able to come on the radio, even if they were stars of Broadway or stars in Hollywood. And Barry Gray would hold court at a famous nightclub. That's where the broadcast would take place.
I'm amazed at that. I went to the new Copacabana Club on 23rd Street years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was... I think it was in my second year of college. I took a lady over there to that place one night. But Barry Gray, I have to say, at that time, even Sterling. Now, McCourt was to the left side of the going off the world. But that night, when they were talking about Nixon, I was surprised at John Sterling, how conservative he became that night. Dan Meaden, the reporter for the Daily News, he was there. And there was one or two people. There was a consensus. You could talk. There wasn't, I hate your guts, I want to shoot your mother and bury your dog in the backyard. It was intelligent conversation. The only people that weren't included that night, it's probably because he followed them, was Long John Neville and Candy Jones, because he followed Gray in the evening.
Yes, and it was considered more theater of the mind. As you know, with Long John Neville and Candy Jones, he had us all believing that Candy Jones was a CIA agent. I mean, that was some of the best overnight radio.
Oh, it's great.
And boy, that guy could sell. That guy could sell product.
You still got the sand dollars.
Yeah. The greatest sales guy of all time on the radio was Long John Neville.
Oh, my God. You know, there's one thing that intrigues me. And when I heard you talk about these people tonight, it just whet my appetite to call. The new radio stars today... And even some of them on your show, they're intelligent, they're entertaining, but they are insecure. And I've heard the one in the morning sometimes, people want to hear about what I do at home and my life and all. When did you ever hear Barry Gray, Bob Grant, Malcolm McCourt, Long John Neville and Candy Jones, even Ken Fancher? When did they discuss their family life?
No, and in fact, Johnny, the best Barry Gray, because he actually was the first person to call on the morning of June 19th, 1992, when I was shot and almost killed on the orders of the Gambinos to the Gottis, Gottis to the Gambinos. He was competitive at WOR, and he spoke for about a half hour his relationship with me and how he'd listen to me and I'd listen to him. And he was the one who would get so angry when a horse-drawn carriage, a horse, would be injured. He'd want to go to war. And yet, he was also the defender of the Second Amendment. He believed that every New Yorker had the right to carry a gun.
I felt when Strauss and MCA, they all split up, and you had then the starting of ABC, with Brennan and then Grant went over there and everybody else. It was sad because you're right. You know what? They need competing stations. You need competing views.
And by the way, a little trivia here. R. Peter Strauss was the father-in-law of Monica Lewinsky. So it was brought to his attention that Monica Lewinsky was having sex with the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, and he was asked, what do you think? Your stepdaughter is having sex. You know, she's like, she went there as a page, an intern, and she's having sex with the President. He said, because he was a strong Zionist, he said, Bill Clinton is a strong supporter of the State of Israel. I don't take offense to him having a relationship with my daughter-in-law. That's amazing. It's amazing. But you bring back all of those memories because now our owner-operator, John Katsimatidis, has brought all of that back to life on WABC by having talk morning, noon, and night, which was beginning to fade. You know, sometimes you turn on talk radio, not just this station, but other stations, and it was all infomercials.
Art Bell was probably the last, as you were stating, that kept people captive. If there was someone that could sell items next to Long John Neville and Candy Jones, he did.
Oh, yeah. In fact, he'd sell you a Beijing wind-up radio.
I had one. I had the original.
That's right. He could sell that. And then foodstuffs. He made that Armageddon was coming.
And a shelter to bury yourself in.
That's right. And people were buying it. There's no tomorrow. He was such a good salesperson over the radio because he created the language that he used, painted pictures, and people could identify with what he was talking about.
You know, it's sad when his wife died, because when he remarried Art Bell, his wife was from the Philippines. He left there to raise his children in the Philippines, but he opted for a license to have a radio station out of the Philippines to be heard in the United States. But George Bush, number one, and the administration, whether it just came from the department there that dealt with the radio transmission, they said no, and they were very serious about it.
Well, I will tell you this. One thing that is common, you mentioned so many of the great talk show hosts and hostesses. You do realize that what makes a good talk show host is that they're half-titched. They're half-two-bots.
Yeah.
They're half out of their minds.
I'm part Italian, so I understand.
Yeah, no, they're half out of their minds. That's what makes them a good talk show host or hostess. They're like halfway on the level of being declared certifiably crazy.
I know. Most of my relatives grew up on East 105th Street on the 3rd Avenue.
Well, so. I got to tell you, Johnny, what we got to do is we got to take these young huckleberries.
I will.
Like Frank Morano, who we still don't know how old he is. Imagine this. We don't even know. He's a father of a brand new son, Carmine William Morano, brought into this world at 9/11 the night before by a midwife in a bathtub at Richmond County Hospital. I don't know why he chose that instead of an OBGNY. Maybe because he's so cheap he throws nickels around like manhole covers. But the mother is good. Rachel is good. Frank is busting out his chest. He's probably on his sixth or seventh cocktail at this point. The only problem is that the boy was born at 9/11. Only Rachel could have waited like a minute or two more. And, you know, his astrological chart is good as a Sagittarius. Anyway, let's go to John, who's calling from Staten Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Johnny.
Curtis, Frank Morano's been an old man in a young man's body. He's 35 years old.
How do you know that, Johnny? How do you know that?
I know Frank.
So why does he not want people to know how old he is?
That's just his thing, because he sounds like an old man.
That is true. He does sound like a curmudgeon.
He talks like an old man. And that other guy, Frankie Russo, that Garvone speaks bad about you over the weekend.
Trust me, Johnny. I got it in for Frankie Russo. I got it in.
He's an insult to Italian.
But let me ask you this question, John. Forget Frankie Russo. Forget Frank Morano for a second. My wife is a hipster and millennial, Nancy, and yet I don't know how old she is. Why do you think she doesn't want me to know how old she is?
Or how young she is. it's one way or the other, Curtis. You may not want to know how young she is, because you might feel like an old man. You're the same age as I am. You're 67.
That's right.
I'm 68. I know how old you are.
And they charge me. They say that I'm snatching from the cradle with Nancy. They see her out in the street with me, and they go up to her, and they say, what is it like to have Curtis Sliwa as a father?
Well, it's like anything. Put it this way. My son used to go out with my daughters. Now, my daughters are old enough to be my son's mother.
Wow.
You know, And they say, oh, tell your mother to get you this. And he say, no, that's my sister. So
anyway, do appreciate you straightening us out on the birth of Frank Morano. According to John in Staten Island, he's 35. You would never know that. I don't think he has ever divulged publicly how old he really is. Only his mother knows for sure. I don't even know if Rachel knows. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Now, the discronificator ain't kicking in. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we try to spin our divining rod as far west as it can go to pick up our signal, our 50,000 powerful watts of sound. Remember, it can reach 38 states and parts of Canada, Bermuda, the Bermuda Triangle. I know because originally I did overnight talk radio. But right now it's stuck, almost frozen, in pointing towards the east, towards Mecca and Medina. And as you know, in that part of the world, they don't believe in talk radio. So we're having some connection problems as we speak. I'm used to that, so I will continue to talk through all of this because later on this morning at 6 o'clock, I'll be joined by Chris Hahn, the aggressive progressive. Chris Hahn, who, by the way, was a real Mamaluke, a real Maytag yesterday. He was forced to actually cook a 20-pound turkey. Or, in his case, a capon, a castrated rooster, because that's what he reminds me of. But anyway, he had to cook a turkey and serve 20 of his friends and relatives. So he had to do the show from somewhere out in Suffolk County in parts unknown. We'll get an update on that when he joins me. And then, naturally, we're going to go through all the news of the day. Because he'll get to weigh on it from a progressive liberal point of view, and I'll be able to get to weigh in on it on a Curtis Sliwa point of view. And there have been a lot of pieces written of late, which I hope he'll be able to respond to, that have to do with being a liberal and a progressive. Can liberals and progressives get along? And why is it study after study, according to the Bible of his, the New York Times say, that conservatives are happier than liberals are? So we're going to point that all out. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
WABC.
Gold and silver prices are at an all-time high. If you have any gold, silver, or platinum coins, bullion, Franklin Mint items, diamonds, jewelry, art, antiques, paintings, French furniture, any Tiffany items, sterling flatware, Judaica, oriental rugs, older baseball cards, sport and entertainment memorabilia, watches, especially better watches, such as Rolex, Patek Philippe, Vacheron, yeah. Tiffany, IWC, Cartier, Breguet, so Omega, Breitling, and Bulgari, just to name a few. They will buy them at all the highest cash prices, in any condition, even broken. They also need any designer jewelry, such as Cartier, Tiffany, Buccellati, Van Cleef, Harry Winston, and Bulgari. Now is the time to cash out at the world-famous APR 57 Gallery on 57th Street in New York City, across from Carnegie Hall. They can also come to your home and do certified insurance appraisals. So if you have anything of value, call them for a free appraisal and high cash offer at 212-246-2000. That's 212-246-2000. Or toll free at 800-772-0054.
They're coming to take me away.
The Wacky Side of Midnight with Frankie Russo.
And now you see I've gone completely out of my mind.
He's certifiable on the Wacky Side of Midnight from 1 a.m. till 6 a.m. Saturday.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
And then the craziness returns Sunday.
I'm still here.
On the Wacky Side of Midnight with Frankie Russo on 77 WABC.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect the policies or positions of WABC Radio, its management, or its sponsors.
Wherever you go, go, go with 77 WABC. Go, go!
Let's see what blast from the past this is here. Starting out, the tweeters and the hoofers, they're gyrating a bit. I don't know if I'm going to nix it, smash it, break it, or make it. But it's doable here. As we rejoin with all of you, let's get back to what we were dealing with as Frank Bogart and me. He actually did his Ask Frank Anything, any questions under the sun, but naturally in a way that he wanted only sycophants, toadies, and lackeys calling him, because that's traditional for most hosts and hostesses on talk radio. They don't want to deal with constructive criticism, and they don't want to deal with any adversarial situations on the radio. I happen to be completely different. Don't pull my chain, don't chew my shorts or bloomers, please. Just give it to me straight. And so we're going to go to one of his statements about talk radio. Who influenced Frank Morano? Now that we know he's 35, you see, we've exposed him. He thought he could keep that from all of us. Now I just have to figure out how old my wife Nancy is. But it was, you could tell because of his choice of who his was the most influential talk radio show host in his career.
Let me say hello to Joe in Brooklyn. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Frank. How are we doing tonight? Good.
Good.
All right, quick question. When you were in the fifth grade or sixth grade or seventh grade, when did you decide to go on the radio? And was Curtis like a guy you looked up to? I know you don't look up to Frankie Russo, but for Curtis you do. So, like, what made you go on the radio?
It's a good question. I always was a big radio listener, and I've told the story many times, including the other day. The first time that I ever thought about radio as a career was I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. I had heard all about this guy, Rush Limbaugh. It's going back about 30 years. And, you know, I said, all right, let me tune into him. And I'm listening. And he's talking about the news, talking about the White House, talking about the president, this, that, this, and that. And he says something along the lines of, and let's look at the G7 summit in Humpsback, Nova Scotia. My mind was blown. My mind was blown. I never in my wildest dreams imagined that you could intentionally mispronounce the name of a community for comedic effect.
So now that does make sense. If he's 35, he would have been influenced by Rush. As you know, I was influenced by the greatest talk radio show host of all time, Bob Grant. And a little side story for those of you who are cognoscentes of talk radio and can't get enough information about this form of communication that you love, that you embrace, that is theater of the mind, that is stimulating your medulla and cerebellum, and that allows us as a host or hostess to paint pictures for you. Unlike FM radio, which is freaking maddening, fornicating madly, free marijuana. That's what FM is. And freeform radio. Like many of you were grown up on WNEW, broke with that classic sort of free range playlist, Allison Steele, The Nightbird, so many others. I know I was being weaned on that in the 60s and the early 70s, but it was Bob Grant who got me back to talk radio, yep, before I became an FM veghead, before I started fornicating madly, using free marijuana, and became feeble-minded from listening to too much FM radio. I was back to active-minded radio. And Bob Grant was so big that when Rush Limbaugh came to New York City to do a local program from WABC, he had dominated the market in California and Sacramento, came to New York City. And when people would listen to Rush Limbaugh in mid-mornings before Bob Grant would come on at 3, when Rush Limbaugh would take phone calls, people would say, you all want to be Bob Grant. You're just not up to snuff. You're not Bob Grant's equal. And it got so bad for Rush Limbaugh, he was planning to go back to Sacramento and leave WABC, the number one news talk station in the nation. And then a guy named McLaughlin rolled out what became the nationally syndicated show from coast to coast. And that's what really put Rush Limbaugh on the map. But there was a point of time, because I was here at WABC at the time, that Rush was planning an exodus back to California, because he could not operate in the shadow of the greatest talk radio show host of all time, Bob Grant. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Rosemary calling from Westchester. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Rosemary.
Thank you. I know you're going to talk about Russo later. I won't listen to him because I don't like how he disrespects you. You know how it's the symbol I have in my mind of a lion bothering with a flea on his behind. I know it's good radio theater, and I know Nancy, your wife, likes him, but I just don't like the talk. Would it drive him crazy if you ignored him?
Yeah, well,
I think
Rosemary,
it would drive him mad.
What do I do, though, in my household? You know, we live in a 328-square-foot apartment, a studio apartment in the Upper West Side that we share with 17 rescue cats. So it's tough. That's real tight accommodations. Nancy can't wait to listen to the Frankie Russo show. Friday's going into Saturday. Saturday's going into Sunday because she finds it very entertaining, and she really loves the callers. She feels they're the best callers in all of talk radio. What do I do to try to convince her that that's just not so? Because she's a hipster and millennial like Frankie Russo is.
She's an individual. She can do what she wants, but I think you should ignore him. It would drive him. He'd act stupid, if that's possible, stonard, than he is already. It would drive him mad.
Well, wait
a
second.
That's how you would get back at him.
Well, it's kind of hard to ignore him because, like what he said the other week, which demands a response from me, because remember, he's a JV guy. He's like a little dog, you know, yelping. And, you know, I'm like the big dog, the German Shepherd, and he's like a little poodle going. But this is what he had
no,
to say.
No, Curtis.
Because I am not going to sign a no-cut 30-year contract that you get Grimaldi's on the Frankie Russo show delivered from the slime light.
Hey, Stuna.
This fruitcake.
You got me involved, you know.
I got you involved.
What'd you get me involved with?
Listen to this.
This is nice music.
Send it to Cloud. He's him and his sidekick, Romano, whatever that was named. Another clown. Two clowns.
Gizmo is the star.
Do you know that Sliwa interviewed me? He interviewed me before he left for his campaign.
I'm like a person of no consequence. I did. I actually invited him in to the studios at WABC. I gave him play. I told all of our listeners, hey, you know, give the kid a chance. You know, he's got some talent here. He could be the future of talk radio. Not. But I gave him that play. And now all of a sudden, he's got guys calling up. They want to referee a boxing match between me and Frankie.
Well, the other point is, you know, we're working on a charity fight between Curtis once his hand holds up against Frankie Russo. And I'm one of the promoters with Anthony from Grimaldi Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like, if you would consider if it's in your contract, to be one of the judges when this fight does happen. It's probably going to happen in about a year.
I would love to do it.
You're such a fair person, and you would be. I know you would call it just down the line with the judge, you know, for that.
We're going to. So, have, are these guys really going to enter the ring? The ring,
well,
the boxing ring?
Well, because I spoke with Curtis last night. Frankie's on for it, and Curtis is on for it once his hand heals up. Matter of fact, he's on it for right now. He says, I'll go in with the broken hand, and I'll, you know, I'll knock him out. But, you know, but we're going to have 16-ounce gloves. I'm going to be the referee. I have experience. I've sparred partners with Mark Breland and a lot of big guys back in the day. But I'm 66 now. I mean, I'm going to have seconds by the ring in case this thing gets crazy.
You sound, Pete, 46. But I thank you for the call, and please let me know, and I would love to be involved in that capacity.
Wow, Mark Breland, he won all those golden gloves as a welterweight, went on to win a championship. Wow. I mean, this is becoming high stakes here. Top shelf, five star. Frankie Russo now wants to get in the ring with me. He doesn't understand. I'm a street fighter. I hit you, you don't hit back. That's the way I've been able to survive. Get into a ring with 16-ounce gloves. What are you, crazy? I jab him right in the back. It's over with. Get that baseball bat, bang, right in the head. I say, yeah, so you see, Rosemary, don't worry about it. I've been dealing with guys, these Jadrules, all my life. You know, he's a wannabe Jadrul. But when I asked him the question, I said, hey, where are you from? You know, because I tell her, I'm from Canarsie. Yeah, that's got some cred. He goes, oh, the King's Plaza area. It's like, really? Wow, that puts a lot of fear into my heart. I'm from the King's Plaza area. Huh. So don't worry about it, Rosemary. No, just
what does Nancy think? What does she think about it?
She goes, leave him alone. He does such a good show, and he has his guests, not his guests, but his callers are so entertaining. I must say, though, he's hooked up with Anthony from Grimaldi's Great Pizza. They delivered here the other day. You know, Frankie wasn't on. I was on. And it was really great stuff. That was Sunday night going into Monday. Frank Morano, like he was like a Hazariah pig. He was just pigging it out. By the time I went to get my slice of pizza, he had snorted all up with his snout in the trough. That's really good pizza.
Oh, good.
No, so look, no, he's done some good stuff. It's just he's JV. You know, he's got to earn his stripes. Takes a little bit of time, a little seasoning, Rosemary. Don't worry.
He doesn't have enough respect.
No, but, you know, I'll give him a few pimp slaps. You'll see. He'll be my Maytag in no time at all, my radio Maytag. I'll say, hey, Frankie, I need you to starch my BVDs. So don't worry about it, Rosemary. I got this new jack in check. You know, they've come before. They've come before. I remember I was here, Rosemary, and they were telling me, this is previous management, Cumulus Radio. Oh, Ben Shapiro, he's the future of talk radio. They're always the future of talk radio. And they asked me to step aside because, you know, I'm considered like an old codger now in talk radio. I said, get out of here. He's not the golden child of talk radio. He does podcasts. No. He's going to be the number one talk radio show host in America. Now, he does great podcasts. No doubt about it, Ben Shapiro. But he's not the best at doing talk radio. He doesn't do talk radio. I do classic talk radio. So if you don't like
it,
right, but if you don't like it, you have other choices on the dial. You see, there's so many choices on the AM dial, active minded. But then again, if you want to plunge into the dark side, you go on the FM side. You become a freaking moron. You're feeble minded. You're fornicating madly. You're using free marijuana. But at least you have choice, right, Rosemary?
That's true.
Say, don't worry, Rose, I got this in check. I've dealt with new jacks before, like Frankie Russo. I smack him around. He'll be my Maytag. I'll teach him a few things. And you'll see, he'll become an extraordinarily good talk radio show host because he has really good callers. They're very entertaining. And he's got the right stuff. I got to work with him a little bit, okay, Rosemary?
Okay, you consider, take care and love to the kiddies.
Yeah, consider him to be like the special ed kid of talk radio. Frankie Russo!
Put him separately in a different class.
Because I am not going to sign a no-cut 30-year contract that you get Grimaldi's on the Frankie Russo show delivered from the slime light.
Hey, Stuna.
this fruitcake.
You got me involved, you know.
I got you involved.
What'd you get me involved with?
Listen to this.
This is,
what is it?
This is nice music.
Send in the clown. He's a clown. He's a, him and his sidekick, Romano, whatever that was named. Another clown. Two clowns.
Gizmo is the star.
Do you know that Sliwa interviewed me? He interviewed me before he left for his campaign.
I'm like a person of no consequence.
WABC. Gold and silver prices are at an all-time high. If you have any gold, silver, or platinum coins, bullion, Franklin Mint items, diamonds, jewelry, art, antiques, paintings, French furniture, or any Tiffany items, sterling flatware, Judaica, oriental rugs, older baseball cards, sports and entertainment memorabilia, watches, especially better watches, such as Rolex, Patek Philippe, Vacheron, Tiffany, IWC, Cartier, Bulgari, just to name a few. They will buy them all at the highest cash prices, in any condition, even broken. They also need any designer jewelry, such as Cartier, Tiffany, Buccellati, Van Cleef, Harry Winston, and Bulgari. Now is the time to cash out at the world-famous APR 57 Gallery on 57th Street in New York City, across from Carnegie Hall. They can also come to your home and do certified insurance appraisals. So if you have anything of value, call them for a free appraisal and high cash offer at 212-246-2000. That's 212-246-2000. Or toll free at 1-800-772-0054.
New York City's only outlet shopping destination is Empire Outlets. With 4 acres of outdoor outlet shopping, everything you need is a ferry ride away between Richmond County Ballpark and the St. George Station, and secure enclosed parking is on premises. Go to EmpireOutlets.nyc.
Wherever you go, go, go with 77 WABC. Go, go!
New York. He is New York.
Cred that the others don't have.
Curtis Sliwa. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
And let's go back as we were reminiscing since Frank Morano, this is his show, bogarted me and did his segment on any and all and all questions a day before he normally does it, which would have been in this time slot. Let's go as he's talking about... Well, a caller is talking about wrestling in the WWF. The wrestling in the WWF. He'll get it.
Of the following WWF wrestlers, who do you think was the greatest champion ever and why?
Oh,
Pedro Morales, Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, or Hulk Hogan?
It's such that's such a good question. Okay, it's got to be one of two, right? In the list that you gave, all great wrestlers, all wrestlers that I really respect and have been entertained by over the years. But it's got to be one of two. It's got to be either Bruno Sammartino or Hulk Hogan.
Yes, yes.
Bruno Sammartino as the longest reigning. WWF and then WWE heavyweight champion, he's got to be considered among the greatest. Now, the reason that he was able to be the longest reigning heavyweight champion in that federation's history is because he kept filling arenas. So I'm inclined to maybe say Bruno Sammartino. The only thing that gives me pause and lets me think maybe it's Hulk Hogan is because if you look at the era of pro wrestling from 1984 to 1994, where with very few exceptions, Hulk Hogan was the champion throughout most of that time. And even when he wasn't the champion, he was putting over the champion, whether it was Ultimate Warrior or somebody else, or Macho Man Randy Savage, whomever else. The fan interest in this country and around the world in pro wrestling exploded during the Hulkamania era, and I think it would be short-sighted and naive of us to not give Hulk Hogan credit for that. But it would be one of those two. It would be Sammartino or Hulk Hogan.
I go with Bruno.
Bruno made me go to the Garden.
Yeah, well, he sold out the Garden more than anybody in history. Matt Blay says he goes with Sammartino.
I go with Bruno because in the age of kayfabe, meaning he never broke kayfabe, he kept it going that professional wrestling is real wrestling and never broke it his entire career. So I have to go with Bruno.
He spanned eras. He spanned eras.
Yeah, hey, look, strong case to be made there. The champion for over 2,800 days. Not something anybody else can say, and it's not a record that will ever be broken. I'm on the fence. I hear where both of you are coming from. I'm on the fence.
Nah, there's no being on the fence, Frank. Again, we were informed earlier he's only 35 years old. First time I've known that. ever since he was interning at WABC as a student, where his family was getting fleeced by sending him to NYU. Outrageous amounts of tuition. What, $55,000 a year? And then he worked his way up the chain, and now he's a talk show host in his own right as the host of The Other Side of Midnight, a brand new father, all proud, his wife Rachel delivering a child at 9/11 the previous night. Carmine is his son's name. A 13-pound baby delivered in a bathtub by a midwife in Richmond County Hospital. I don't know why they went the midwife way, other than Frank at times is so cheap he throws nickels around like manhole covers. And instead of getting an OBGYN, got a midwife from Mount Laredo, was a nun, on loan to Frank. Anyway, his dissertation about wrestling, the old WWF versus the new WWE, missed so much. Because I grew up in the era of Bruno Sammartino. You know, come on the weekends with Vince McMahon Sr., and he would interview Bruno, who was the world wrestling champion for the WWE most of its existence, WWF most of its existence. And at a certain juncture, Vince McMahon Sr., father of Vince McMahon Jr., would say, "Hey, Bruno, why don't you talk to your countrymen?" And he'd start talking in Italian. And my grandfather was mesmerized by him, Fidelio Bianchino, from Andria, a little town on the Adriatic coast in Bari. And he would hang on to every word. And during the match itself, when Bruno Sammartino would be in the center of the ring and he'd be wrestling Gorilla Monsoon, if Gorilla Monsoon was hitting him, my grandfather, Fidelio Bianchino, who had cataracts, so his eyeballs were like right up on that 13-inch RCA black and white TV, would feel every blow when Bruno would strike back, whether it was Gorilla Monsoon or Cowboy Billy Watts or Baron Miguel Cicluna from the island of Malta or Killer Kowalski. It's almost as if my grandfather, Fidelio Bianchino, were hitting these opponents. And especially when he would put his opponents in his famed Sicilian backbreaker, which would normally cause them to tap out and give up. And naturally, when he would be in a tag team match, many of you probably remember the golden boy, Arnold Skolden, who could do no wrong, from White Plains in Westchester County. Oh, there was no doubt. Bruno Sammartino was the absolute best. And he did pack Madison Square Garden, and he did pack the Boston Garden, where so many Italians would lease buses, fill them up, and they'd be up into the rafters at these extravaganzas hosted by Vince McMahon Sr. of the old WWF. This is before the internet, before mass advertising. It was all about Bruno Sammartino getting those crowds in, and he was a purist. There were certain things he would not do in order to sell a move. Anyway, let's go to Lucille, who's calling from Manhattan. Your turn to be heard here on WABC, Lucille. Yes, hello, Lucille?
Hello.
Yes, hello. Lucille.
Yes, Curtis.
Yes, yes, Lucille.
Curtis,
yes.
Do you remember the radio show you and I did with Basil Patterson?
Yes, Basil Patterson was my partner when I was at AM 970 The Answer. We did the shows right from the window of the Hotel Pennsylvania.
Well, this was way when you were brand new, started your Guardians, and the police department really didn't like it.
That's
your,
true.
Your champion, though, was Chief Gert Schimmel. Do you remember Gert Schimmel?
That's right. First,
she was my buddy until the day she died, yes.
Gert Schimmel, who when she joined the police department, they required the women to wear skirts.
Well, I was one of the first women on patrol, and I designed the uniform. It was not a design. I said, let's wear what the men wear.
By the way, Lucille, she was quite the card shark, Gert Schimmel.
Oh, yeah. That was her secret. She said if anybody ever knew, they'd be stampeding headquarters to interview her. She was a finalist in the big poker tournament out there. In
oh,
Las
yeah.
Vegas.
She was a real card shark.
She
but
was hot
you stuff. Know what happened years later after Governor Patterson, Basil Patterson's son, mm-hmm. Who was the Secretary of State. But afterwards, and also Deputy Mayor, a lot of people don't realize Basil Patterson became Deputy Mayor yes. for Ed Koch mm-hmm. along with Herman Badillo, who left his congressional seat. He regretted that because Ed Koch soon fired him as a deputy mayor, told him, get out of the car. You can walk back to City Hall. Clear out your desk. But Basil Patterson's son, David Patterson, who became the governor, was a co-host of mine at AM 970 The Answer in the window of the Hotel Pennsylvania. And that's how he met my wife, Mary, who he eventually married and is married to now.
Really?
Only in talk radio.
Congratulations on saving all those cats, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you
very
much. My
neighbor had 30 cats in her studio.
Oh.
30. We rescued them from the backyard.
Yeah, well, we're working on that, Lucille. We're working on that. Anyway, let's go, if we can, to Melvin calling from the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Melvin.
Greetings, Curtis. About Bob Grant. I remember Bob Grant being on the airway during the reign of Art Rush, one of the greatest sports hosts. And, Bob Grant said something to Airways, which he later apologized for. What he called Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther Coon. Yeah, he apologized, but I never forget that. And I remember his point of view, how he, and also I remember Steve Malzberg, where we had to shut him down, because the way he kept on Disney. There was a TV show years ago called The Untouchables, which was forced to change its format based on a segment of the population protest against the negative stereotype that are being portrayed over the airwaves. The same mess that's going on today. A whole lot of negative stereotypes. So you keep on living up to the lie and lying down the truth, because the truth is coming out slowly but surely. All I'm talking about is just one thing here only. Improving the quality of life of home people accountable for their behavior. So put the truth out there, because the truth will come up, and then you wish you had kept your mouth shut instead of having diarrhea of the mouth all the time, putting all this poo-poo over the airwaves.
Putting on poo-poo over the airwaves?
Mm-hmm. Because you guys feel medical. I met you years ago in Millbrook Houses up here in the Bronx.
That's right.
Years ago. I remember that encounter very well and so forth. Yes, we still got the same situation. Why? Due to apathy and indifference from the population. They have been misled and misguided to an educational system. Yes, I sat on the school board up here in Bronx County before Bloomberg kicked us out and were made to control for one reason only. To control the budget. Yes, I sit on the neighborhood planning board also, and I see every time it manifests every single day how people come out here and want somebody to do for them what they refuse to do for themselves. No, 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 no. The truth comes out slowly.
Well, no. Understood. And, hey, look, Melvin, you are a all-time listener going back to Art Rush Jr. when he did Sports Talk at 7 o'clock at night here on WABC. I remember it well.
He was a historian. He authored in Sports Radio, sports as we know it today.
But you know who is
nine lives out there.
You know who his phone screener was? Art Rush Jr.
Excuse me, sir.
Do you know who his phone screener was? Art Rush Jr.
Yeah, Steve Malzberg.
That's right. Very good. And you know what Art Rush Jr. would do from time to time? Because, like a lot of people who do sports talk radio, they become gambling degenerates. He would ask some of the callers if they could loan him some money for the horse race that day. boy, those were the days. Those were the days. Anyway, let's go to Timmy, who's calling from Elmont, Long Island. Your turn to be heard, Timmy.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. Melvin is Rachel's favorite caller, and you, Curtis and Frank Morano, violated one of the great legendary urban myths, never marry a cat woman. Now, Harpo Marx is jealous of the other host because he doesn't make that much money. He just gets per diminis on. He gets like $100 for food or something with that. And the show goes on because certain callers are pretty good. But the thing is, with Bruno Sammartino, you got to remember, when he lost twice the championship. I think Stasiak and superstar Billy Graham. When he lost to Billy Graham, they had to do it in Baltimore, Maryland. They wouldn't dare do it in Madison Square Garden. And when they had the rematch, they had the rematch, and superstar did what any normal person would do. He ran out of the ring and lost to a disqualification, but you don't lose the title through that. I'm not really a big wrestling fan, but I've been talking to people through the years who really followed it. Really, certain guys believed that it was really true and stuff. I believe it was rehearsed, but they loved it, and they talked about so many stuff. But the thing is,
Oh,
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're right. There's no way he was going to lose the belt with all those Italians in the house at either Madison Square Garden or the Boston Garden. Anyway, let's go to Anthony calling from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Anthony.
Hi, Curtis. I just want to say I'm so glad that you rescued all those cats. I think it's wonderful, and I get so sick and tired of Frank Russo always bad-mouthing you and everything, oh, the cats you rescue. I can't listen to him anymore because of that. I can't.
No, but you have to, Anthony. I'll tell you why, because I need you. I can't listen to it all the time. And my wife is a fan of his, so, you know, she likes to listen to the callers. She finds him very entertaining. But I need people like you who can rat him out. You know, you'll be able to tell me exactly, specifically, how he defamed me, how he smeared me, how he libeled me. Very important, Anthony. You got to be listening as much as humanly possible if you can. I realize it's a little difficult, Anthony, but I need all of you to be my airwave spies.
Okay.
You can do that, Anthony?
Yeah, I could do that because I can't. I'm so turned off to him because of that. Always, you know, the cat sound making fun and always taking all these cats. So you got a heart for cats. I do too. I love cats.
No, I know. But you see, Anthony, if I don't know what he's saying, I can't put him in a box here because, you know, I got seniority. I got stripes. He's JV. You know, it's always, this is always what it is. You know, it's like the little poodle, you know, nipping at the German Shepherd.
I like the way you put that.
Hey, that's what it is. A big dog, if you notice, a big dog doesn't respond to the little doggies. The little doggies, big dog just ignores him. So, you know, I just say to Frankie Russo, hey, Frankie, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy, Frankie? He knows. He knows. It's okay. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's right. Rat him out. Eat the Parmesan cheese. Take meticulous notes and let me know how he defames me, how he libels me and disparages me. And you got to be listening. Remember, he's on like Saturday morning, right? 1 to 5, and then Sunday morning, 1 to 5. He's the other side of midnight, the JV side.
I know.
All right.
I'll never call him again.
Oh, that's okay, but as long as you listen. Very important that you listen and you help rat him out to me. Anyway, let's quickly go to Neil in New Jersey. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Neil.
Hey, Curtis. I just want to clear the record. Bob Grant absolutely never called Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther Coon. That's BS. He did say a lot of very mean things about him, called him a bum, a philanderer. He didn't deserve his own day for a holiday. But that is just BS. It's not true. And as far as him apologizing for it later, no, it actually happened in his later years. He did say that he had more, you know, he gained more respect for African-Americans liking Martin Luther King Jr. He didn't put him down like he did in the past. But even at his most vicious against Martin Luther King, he didn't use those kind of words, period. I'm not saying he didn't say things that were negative about him or even other black people. I'm not trying to whitewash anything. But that's just a lie, and I hate hearing BS.
Well, you know what? You know what? I forget the name of the guy who was calling from the Bronx, our African-American caller. He probably mistook what was being said by the congressman who lost his seat, Adam Clayton Powell, who when he was in Bimini in the Bahamas, he would refer to Martin Luther King Jr. as Martin Luther Coon.
Yes, that has been said, but not by Bob Grant. I mean, look, again, I know he called Dinkins the men's room attendant, and he said a lot of things, but not that. In fact, when a caller would call and use any kind of negative word, toward, like, I remember one time someone used the word spooks, and he hung up and said, hey, we don't, there's no need for that type of language. That was not Bob Grant.
No, that is true. I think our friend from the Bronx there misconstrued what was said by Adam Clayton Powell when he was under fire because he had libeled, he had besmirched called a woman a bag lady up in Harlem that turned out not to be true. And in order to avoid the court's findings, fled to Bimini. Remember, he was one of the most powerful congressmen in America. House and Ways Committee. I think he was the chairman of it at that time. Very powerful. And yet he eventually lost his seat. Charlie Rangel won it against him as he was running for office from his sanctuary in Bimini in the Bahamas. And he was the person, because his complexion was his protection as the highest ranking African American in the House of Representatives. He would disparage Martin Luther King Jr. after he had a few cocktails in the afternoon at Bimini, went out for a little bit of a ride on his boat. And he would refer to him in press conferences as Martin Luther King. Absolutely correct. That was not Bob Grant, the king of talk radio. Many times he disparaged people, wrongfully so. But you are correct, caller. That was not one of the times. Well, up next, we're going to have the best of Bernie and Sid, and they're away today. And then it's followed by yours truly and the...